Provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/letstalk. Well, in a minute, guess who's in the house? All right, y'all. Hey, what's going on? It's Tuesday. Yes, it is. And welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk. And today we're being sponsored by audibletrial.com. Hey, y'all go check it out, man. I'm telling you, they got a whole lot of stuff in there. And we're talking audiobooks. I mean, you don't even have to sit there flip no pages. One thing you gotta do is put on your earphones, hit play, whatever you're listening to, and let it read to you. Hey, you can't beat that, I'm telling you. Anyway, welcome to the show. How y'all doing this week? I hope everybody enjoyed their weekend. Man, I tell you, I enjoyed my weekend. I did. Did a lot of thinking and bobbing and weaving at the same time. But anyway, you know what? It's all good. I'm glad to have everybody here today. Now, if you want to be a part of the show today, that's no problem, because we have a outstanding show planned for you today. You hear me? We're talking about the shooting in Missouri. We're going to talk about this new curfew they have in Baltimore, and if time allows, we're going to talk a little ISIS and, more troops we're sending over there. I'm sorry, they're advisors. The more advisors we're sending over, and whatever. I mean, the topic of the show today is how much lower can we go? And with all those things I'm talking about, man, I'm telling you, sometimes you have to ask yourself that question. Because I don't think a lot of people are really paying attention to just how low we are beginning to go. So, yes, we're going to be talking a little bit about that. Of course, I have the song of the day for you. Oh, I got a good one, y'all. I got Little John queued up for you. So, if you didn't know how to move, by the time you get finished listening to Little John, you're going to be doing something. All right. And then, of course, you know, we have our regular show where you can call in, give your comment, ask a question. Just add to the conversation. Of course, you know, if you're going to do that, you're going to have to dial 347-838-8622 and press the number 1 so we can see you in the queue and get you on the air. Now, if you don't feel like doing that, you can also stop by our chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. And that bring you right into the chat room. Now, you don't have to sign in with a username or anything like that. If you're going to sign into our chat room, you can sign in as a guest. However, if you sign in as a guest, you do not have the privileges of commenting or responding to any comments that may be placed in the chat room. So those are the differences, but you can just call in. All right? Also, Let's see what else we got going on. the rules, when you call in that, there's an adult, okay? No cussing, no fussing, no... derogatory terms, you know, act your age, okay? Thank you, and we do appreciate that. But as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I do encourage everyone, because I like to hear everyone's opinion. You know, sometimes it becomes monotonous if you hear the same old opinions after the same, because you already basically know what the people are going to say. So we encourage all new callers to come call in. Okay? If you have an opinion or you want to just make a short statement on something, hey, come on, let's do that. I'm looking forward to it anyway. That's for real. Okay? So, as I said, we welcome everybody to the show. All right. Now, you know, I must say this right now, and I'm going to get this out of the way. I love y'all. I really do. I really do love my audience and the people that comes to the show, you know, that supports me. I really do because, you know, it's almost like being family, you know. Yeah, even though the other people, too. I love them, too, because, you know, everybody can't be nice to you. You understand what I'm saying? And it takes the mean ones to make you better. That's all I'm going to say. You know, but, we do prefer they not show up. But if they do, hey, it is what it is, right? But I love you all, and I want to give you special thanks for your support, you know, in supporting the show. Because I know without it, you know, I'll be... just talking to myself, because I can't say I wouldn't be here because, yeah, I'd be talking to myself, but it's all good. All right, now we're going to talk about a moment, something serious here for a moment. And, of course, I'm sure by now everyone is aware that Robin Williams, you know, passed last evening and come to find out he hung himself. Mr. Williams was said to be in deep depression. Now, I've done shows here on Let's Talk about depression, and I think I may have to pull one of those up and do a repeat or something sometime this week, because a lot of people really do not realize how serious depression is. Now, some people say, well, that's just a thing of the mind. And no, that's just not a thing of the mind, okay? Some of the happiest people, i.e. Robin Williams, that you can see, you know, can go through depression. And it's like a silent killer. It really is. Because, number one, you don't want to tell anybody about it. You'd rather be off by yourself, just by yourself. Don't bother me. And you always have the mindset of, I can get through this. I'll be better. And that's where the silence of the death comes in at. Because as you keep saying, I'm going to get better. There's something behind that saying, no, you won't. Why you been worrying about it? No, let's go on and end this, because this is, you can't take any more of this. Why you got to take this? And that is exactly what happens. And the more you fight it, try and fight it on your own without any knowledge of what's happening to you, then the deeper you go into, as they call, the rabbit hole. And at a certain point, there is no point of return. Okay? Because eventually, you're just in a bottomless pit. Now, what we do sometimes as humans and individuals, what we do is we train ourselves. Oh, should I say condition? Because I don't want to nobody go back and say we train being humans. We train ourselves. But what you do is condition yourself to deal with the outside world just enough to get by. So that means if I have to go outside, smile and wave every day, you know, that's what I would do till I get back into my sanctuary that I think is my sanctuary, where that is, where I can be all alone. Every person that is depressed deals with other people, because you have some of them that depressed that you never see and you never will see. And a good example of something like that was Sherman Hensley, who played George Jefferson on The Jeffersons. If you remember, while the show was going on, he was a loudmouth, cocky, just arrogant little something. But in real life, he had went through depression, and he barely, when he spoke, you barely could hear him. In fact, it was so low that once he was on a reality show, they had to actually put subtitles under what he was saying so you would know exactly what was said. And that is, you know, depression will do that to you. So, and I'm saying all this for a reason. Because in the black community, you know, we have that problem even as worse or as doubled than anyone else. Because we always have that belief that we can get over anything. You know, we have that belief that, hey, it's all right. It's all right. You know, and then there's others that just plain can't afford it. You go and get the help. So when you think of depression, do not take that lightly, because depression, whether it's severe or minor, it's depression. Now, just let's put this in perspective. Robin Williams had all the money he could ever want, but yet he couldn't find enough help for depression. And that's what makes it so bad and such a killer. So, you know, and we need to really watch each other. Because I would say watch yourself, but let's be honest, as I mentioned before, you watch yourself, you'll talk yourself out of being seeking the help that you need. You will. It's just what we do. It is just what we do. Of course, anyone who has been listening to this song, Lord have mercy, this show for any amount of time, you know, you are aware that I suffer from depression. I sure do. But I'm not afraid to tell you. I'm not ashamed to tell you. Because I feel that being that I am aware of the circumstances and the way it attacks you, that I'm here able to talk about it and help you understand just how serious this thing is. No, y'all don't have to worry about it. I'm not going to find no rope and hang myself or nothing like that. I'm not doing that. What I am saying is, you know, when somebody tell you they depressed, don't take it lightly. Don't take it lightly. I know a lot of times I would say it and crack in a joke just to hide that I really was. You know, so if someone tell you that, you know, you may want to kind of look again and again, look it over maybe twice, another time, all right? All right, enough of that. So anyway, condolences go out to Robin Williams' family. And, you know, later on this week, we're going to redo a show on depression, you know, if that's what y'all want. If y'all don't want, just let me know, and we won't do one. It's just that simple. All right? So that's all we wanted to say about that. All right, time to give our chat, our shout-outs out today. And, man, I'm telling you, I'm ready. Oh, once again, Cloud Nation sends his love. He's out handling some business. He's on a little vacation also. So, you know, we want to let him have some fun. And then that what happens when you try and talk too fast, y'all. We're going to give our shout-outs right now. We got, of course, my chat room coordinator, Antoinette, in the house. Then we got guest 1441. I know who you are. We got guest 793, 796, 843. And, of course, we got the new man on the pole, Kid Stark Biz. Kick, 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 kick. See, you thought I was going to mess it up. I did, but I corrected it. Called it Kick Start Biz. I'm telling you, that sounds like that should be a rap name something. And, of course, on the switchboards, we got Mr. Michigan, and we got Chris on the line. So, you know, welcome, everybody. And those out there that's listening on your other little devices that I cannot see, welcome to the show. I am glad that you decided to stop by and spend a little time here with Mr. Talk and his crew. All right? So, now, it's that time, y'all. I done talked enough. You know, I know you're like, well, Mr. Talk, I'm going to get to play the music, you know. Well, you know, I'm about to. You know, but here's another thing, too. Also, I'm finna start doing a joke. I don't know whether it's going to be a joke of the week or the joke of the day. But I'm going to start giving y'all some jokes. So if there's any jokes that you would like to have heard here on Let's Talk Over the Air, just send me an email. Send it to me an email, ericletstalk@gmail.com. And I'll look over. Now, make sure it's clean, please. All right? Please make sure it's clean. Because if it's not clean, there's nothing I'm going to be able to do for you. All right? All right. But other than that, man, let's get ready for our song of the day because, hey, I know we're going to be, somebody going to be doing some moving day because I know I am, you know. Oh, okay. So we would do a quote and a joke. You know, we'll do each. I know we do at least one each week, okay? That's better. That way we get the quote. I know I love the quote of the day, too. So we're gonna see if we can work a quote in at least once a week and a joke of the day in once a week. And if we can do all that, man, well, we rolling. Yes. All right. Anyway, that's good, man. I'm telling you. Divine Design. Hey, honey. I'm glad you can make it. All right, y'all. So without further ado, man, here that man is that with all them dang things in the front of his mouth that I talk about all the time. Hey, but I happen to like this one song he sung. All right. So without further ado, here it is, Little John and the East Side Boys.
Yeah. your friends. Standing there while I'm drinking my hands, steady looking at me, still asking questions. Time's up, pass me another contestant. Whole move to the left if you ain't by steady. I talked through three or four songs already. Looking at a with your palm out. Change even since you dance.
Twerk something, baby. Twerk something, baby. Poppin' on the pole, do your thing, baby. Slide down that bitch a little bit, then stop. Get back on the floor, catch your balance, then drop. Now bring it back up, flap, like hands. I just wanna see your dirty dance. Yeah, yeah, we done done it again. And put it on the map like hands.
3, 6, 9, 10, 10.
Your boy Little John in the house with Get Low. Now, you know, there's another version of that song, but we're not going to play that here on this show. But you know what? It's a party anthem, man, I'm telling you. And did that make you feel better? I don't know. Okay, I know. Some of y'all don't like that type of music, so you're going to automatically say, no, no, that did not make me move. Oh, well. Because, you know, some of you people out there that claims to be such a religious or spiritual or whatever you are calling today, you act like just because you are whatever you think you may be in the realm of religion or spirituality, I'm here to tell you, you can have some fun. You know, you can. I'm going to tell you why you had some fun. You can have some fun. Because Jesus had fun when he was making the bread and the wine. Why do you think they was drinking the wine? He was having fun. And he was helping. Hey, he was helping them to have a fun. Oh, I know what some of y'all say. Ooh, it's the talk. You know you're going to be in trouble for saying that. Well, what is it some of them other people say a lot of times? Well, the Lord know my heart. You know what? That's funny, though. Isn't that the first thing somebody, when they know they doing wrong, that's the first thing they'll say? Well, you know, God knows my heart. You know, that's what they say. You know, God knows my heart. Yeah. And he know you not right from the get up, so... Hey, God knows my heart. That means I can do it. Yeah, I know, I know, I know, I know. Well, God drank wine. Why? Remember? Yeah, that's why we drink it in communion. Yeah. But you know what, though? I ain't even going there. Anyway. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there, you know. I don't know why. It just popped in my head. And as it was popping in my head, I had to put it on out there. Because that's the way I make things happen. All right, y'all. So, once again, welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Mr. Talk. Today, we got a couple of good topics for you, at least two, you know, and hopefully we'll spend enough time. We have enough time to cover both of them. You know, we're going to be talking about the shooting, you know, in Ferguson, Missouri over the weekend. Man, I'm telling you, that's a powder keg right there. But I think I'm going to give you a perspective that I think a lot of people are paying attention to. Of course, then in Baltimore, you know, Baltimore has had a curfew for about the last 20 years where they've revamped it, made it a little bit better, they say. And so that went into effect over the weekend. And the ACLU now and some parent organizations are really having a hard time accepting this curfew. So we're going to talk a little bit about that also. And then we may get, if we have a chance, we'll talk about Iraq's choice of a new prime minister and President Obama sending more advisors to Iraq. Now, look, I'm going to tell you. I've told y'all already here before when he first said he was sending those first 300 that there would be more. Now, here's the kicker on that. They're going to tell you there are no boots on ground. Oh, yeah, there's boots on ground. I'm going to tell you why there's boots on ground. Well, because somebody has to protect them. And all of them not going to be drone flyers and people who work at the embassy and all that good stuff. So, yeah, it's a possibility. Well, it's a possibility. More than likely, he's getting ready to send some more over there. And isn't this how Iraq started out, the Gulf War? No, not the Gulf War, but the Persian Gulf. No, it was the Gulf War. Then how'd they sign out? Find out. You know, you send a little bit now, you send a little bit now, you send. And you know why you send a little bit instead of a whole bunch of people? Because as you send in a little bit, most people would have forgotten about the first group you sent over there. So it just seems like you're just sending a little bit of people over there. But once you start adding the numbers up, the numbers are not as small as you think they are. And I must admit, you know, the president is in one heck of a spot right now. You know, they're going to talk about him. If he doesn't say anything, they're going to say whatever happens was his fault. Well, if he sends someone and we get into another war, oh, my God, he sent them people when he shouldn't have sent anyone. And so I do not envy his position at all right now because it's a very tough one. And for those out there that have such a grand idea about how they would handle it, hey, you're more than welcome to run for office. You know, because it's interesting how, you know, everybody can say what they would do when they're on the outside. But once you get on the inside and realize the different nuances and regulations and so forth and so on that hold you back from making a decision that you would think is good because of other interests, then it's not as easy as you think. It's not. Now, that is for those that run things themselves. Now, if you have someone else doing talking to you in your ear and you're not able to discern the difference between who's right and who's wrong, what's right and what's wrong, and you just go with whatever feels good, that's fine, too. That's fine. That's what makes none of us perfect, right? Yeah. Okay. Anyway. I don't know where all this wisdom coming from. I got to go back and check that because I don't know if it's wisdom or not, but I'm just putting it out there. I guess somebody needed to hear that, you know, I guess so. But I really don't. And then, of course, it's amazing how when certain things come up, you hear the same old jokers in Congress and the news media that pop up out of everywhere, you know. John McCain. You know, I have a clip, and I'll probably play it later on this week. Well, John McCain, in an interview, five times, because they counted, five times said, we won Iraqi freedom, and President Obama messed it up. Here's another question for you. What the heck did we win? Please tell me, what did we win? Did we win a seat on the Iraqi council? Some would say yes. Really? No. Did we win a pot of gold? Oh, no, we stole all that, so we couldn't have won that. Did we win another ally in a otherwise very turbulent Middle East? No, because the guy they put in office didn't even want don't want the Americans there. So what the heck did we win? We lost a lot of young American lives. I lost quite a few friends. Did we win that? The right to mourn? The right to listen to this bull crap every time something come on? Did we win that? Man, I tell you, You know, it's just amazing me. You know, John McCain, out of all people, a prisoner of war himself. I guess he won that too, huh? That's why he ended up in a prisoner of war. Some things you just should stay quiet about. You don't have to get up there and be in front. As soon as they put a microphone in your face, or, you know, or some type of recording device, you hop on it like an old crack pipe. You got to say something. You have to do something. Wow. Anyway, I have to admit, President Obama has a heck of a decision to make. I wish him well, because I'm going to be honest with you, I wouldn't want to make it. That is just, oof, my goodness. That's one that I do not want to have to make. All right. And since I'm not the president of the United States, I don't have to make it. Isn't that a wonderful thing? All right. Here we go. Let's get on. Let's go on and hop on our first topic here. I think I done talked enough to bore y'all, so hopefully, you know, y'all ready. 18-year-old Michael Brown was shot Saturday night. Witnesses say he was unarmed, had his hands in the air. Of course, police say, "Ooh, Lord," the officer tried to get out of his vehicle just before the shooting, but Brown pushed him back into his car, physically assaulting the officer and reached for the officer's weapon during a battle. Of course, they're such a small town. The patrol cars are not equipped with dashboard cameras. However, they say reports say Brown was shot 35 feet from the vehicle. Of course, Brown and a friend were accused of stealing gum from the store or some sort of cigarettes. Okay, now here's the part that really angered me. You know, I was angered once I heard that another young black man had been killed. Yes, and it involved another police officer, of course. Now, here's the thing, though. Number one. Why? I'm going to ask this question. A young man was just shot in the streets by a police officer. The young man was supposed to be going to college as of yesterday. Y'all remember that, right? Why would you be shouting, "We want justice, we want justice, we want justice," in the middle of the street on national cameras are focused on you? If that's what you want to shout, and then 10 minutes later, you're running into a quick stop, breaking windows, stealing. They show one group of people. I'm going to show you just how ignorant we can be. Now, most people, when they was looting, a lot of individuals went and got food and clothes. These knuckleheads were looting a tire and rim store. Not only did we destroy businesses that we probably frequented, but well, our priorities were even wrong when it came to stealing. What rims and tires? It's not like they're grabbing rims and tires to sell them, y'all. They buying them to put on their car. You understand what I'm saying? At the same time, though, you're out there yelling. You're yelling, "Justice, we want justice." But you're showing thievery instead. How are we supposed to build any type of standing, or I don't know what word I could use right now. If every time something goes wrong, we decide we're going to tell some things, it just makes it worse on us, y'all. Of course, Brown was spending the summer with his grandmother, and of course, she described him as a good kid. He was a great kid. He wouldn't hurt anyone. How many times have we heard that, y'all? I haven't heard anyone yet who would describe their child when something happened as he wasn't a good kid. Deep down, they already know that that was a little tyrant, for lack of a better word. But you understand what I'm saying. I'm sure you understand what the point I'm trying to make here. You know, so now it's interesting. Of course, you know, you got the, you know what? It's a shame to when something happens, it is very, very interesting that, I'm going to make y'all laugh on this one. One of the poverty pimps will be there within 24 hours. Yes. And when I say poverty pimp, y'all know who I'm talking about. Al Sharpton, Jesse. Those are the top two anyway. And, of course, the day at a press conference. And yesterday at a purple, who did you have standing up there? Reverend Al Sharpton. And then they have the attorney that represented Trayvon Martin. And, of course, the same as the Trayvon Martin shooting. They have the parent up there holding the picture of their son. And, of course, it's him, you know, being looking all innocent. Let's be honest. But no one said anything about those two little kids that got shot down in New Orleans this weekend. You don't hear anything about that. You know why? Because it's not national. You know, you're not going to have that because nobody can make no money off of that. You don't see the poverty pimps running down there. What about all the deaths in Chicago? All the deaths in Los Angeles, Miami, even the small places, Milwaukee. You know, you won't hear anything about that unless something nationally happens to where the spotlight is put on there. But you got the poverty pimps that want to show up every time they think something national is going to happen so they can get some more notoriety. Yes, it was tragic that another young black man had to die. Don't get me twisted. And I mean, don't get it wrong. But our behavior after that was so predictable. So predictable, no one is really thinking about what really happened to this kid. They're thinking about looking at all those people on national television breaking windows, stealing rims, tires, whatever you can get. And here's the worst thing about this. Not only were they breaking in the stores, these jokers was not hesitant to stop and talk at the camera. Who was filming this stuff? Once again, you have people filming. Really? You have an 18-year-old young man just died out there on the street. Really? I don't think you can think about is going to steal some tires, some rims, and a little bit of food out the store and maybe a dress or two. Wow. Now, but let's not get it twisted. Also, you know, it was amazing, and I had to write this down once I saw it on the news because I couldn't believe this. It reminded me of back in the 60s during the Civil Rights March. You had a cop standing up there holding a police dog. The police dog going crazy. You know, he up on his hinds, and the police officer holding him back. You got tear gas being fired. And the police stand up there in their ride gear, and you got the big old ride trucks right there on the corner waiting. As advanced as we say we are in today's society, that little incident right there did what? Took us all the way back to the 60s, y'all. And for those a little older, probably a little further back. So as much as we would like to say that everything is getting better and we have progress, That little scene right there illustrates just how far we still have to go. Or, as the title of the show say, how much lower can we go? How much? We're now repeating things that we're supposed to have already accomplished, conquered. I'm sorry, y'all. I just have to get it in there. I got to put it in there. I do. Because it just stands out when I look at stuff like that. It really does. Now, I know some of you are going to say, well, why won't they release the police officer's thing? Well, because the police officer, you know, has received threats to his life. You know, the police chief didn't receive threats to his life. So in this instance, I can see. And you know what? Ferguson? Yeah, the Ferguson Police Department is not even handling the investigation. That's how much they say, you know, they want this to be for real. You know, they're not, they don't have their hands on it anywhere. Whew, this is going to be interesting. All right, y'all, I'm going to quit yammering because I know y'all like that. But Mr. Talk again, he on another one of those ramblings. Well, I just have to put it out there, man, because, you know, sometimes you just have to say what's on your mind. You know what I mean? Oh, man, I'm telling you. I see this number here. It looks familiar. I don't know, though. But let me bring these individuals in right here because I see I have them on the line. I'm going to start with Mr. International. And good afternoon, Mr. International. How you doing today?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Are you there?
Is this for you? You're answering 414?
Yes, 414.
Oh, what's up, Mr. Talk? It's the mayor of Chocolate City, KB, the world-class smartass. I'm listening to you, and I'm following you. Everything you said is on point. And I really want to say, I've seen what you, like, the poverty pimps. I totally agree with that. That is just like, right now, it seems like those guys have made our struggle into a commodity. It's like they've commercialized struggle. But on the other hand, I am from Milwaukee. And I would like to say that a part of me was happy. I don't endorse anarchy at all, and I know there's a need for law enforcement, but there has been just a trend over the last 2 years of the people who we hire to protect us, and they're going, I guess, you know, since we kill each other, they figure that it's all good. So I do want to say that being from Milwaukee, what we have right now is we have 96 black men who were subject to cavity searches on the street by Milwaukee police. 66 of them have been persecuted and prosecuted in the court system already. In some cases, the police officers didn't even use gloves.
Oh,
now, there's nothing that you can hide in your rectum that could be that valuable. I mean, you figure if it's $200 worth of crack, they're going to spend $3.5 million to lock that individual up in the first place, so that's disproportionate. But I do want to say every episode in our country of civil unrest has started with this kind of police brutality. And you know, my wife told me, she said, you know, I understand that, but I didn't see 600 people rioting as they've killed black people have killed black people over and over and over. And I do believe that, too. But I think when it comes down to a situation where we, the law-abiding citizens who pay our taxes, for these people, these individuals, the law enforcement officers, who I'm not against, once again, I'm not against them, we pay them to protect us and to assist us so that we can function as normal citizens and get rid of the criminal element. When they turn the tide and start shooting us down, 10 shots to a 17-year-old, and like you said, I'm sure he was no angel or whatever, but he still didn't deserve to die with his hands up screaming for his life. So I just want to say it feels a little good to me. I mean, I'm caught in the middle because I don't like us burning our own communities, but I feel the same way I felt when they rioted in L.A. You know, sometimes you got to show the system and the powers that be that, look, you go so far, we will fight back. And I know more of us will die than them, but I was just a little happy to see that the people down there are saying, look, enough is enough. So I agree with you on that, and I knew Al Sharpton and all those characters was going to show up, and they're ineffective because they don't work in any kind of legislation to end this kind of stuff. But, you know, it's a tough topic, and I just want to say I'm with you, brother, and I agree with all that. But I think as black people, what we need to do is decide whether or not we want to be feared or respected. Because if we want to be feared, we can just keep down the road that we're on now. You see a mob of our youngsters walking, even me as a black man from the hood, I cross the street. because I know what's coming. Do we want to be respected, which means we become informed voters and get down on legislation and make the police here operate from a code of ethics, not just a code of behavior. They need to get a code of ethics. So we do that by getting on our so-called elected officials and demanding that they take action to prevent this. And then on the other hand, I like to tell the people in St. Louis, we got your back nationwide, but stop the burning before some kids get killed. Stop it. The point is made. Now let's just let the court system do its job and hope this thing plays out the right way. That's all I want to say.
All right, man. Thank you, KB. I do appreciate those comments, man. And I understand where you're coming from. I really do. Well, you mentioned some things there that I think I'm going to have to ask you about. You know, okay, you say instead of being feared, you'd rather be respected. And you mentioned a code of ethics. Now, my question to you is this. How can we talk about a code of ethics if we're destroying things in our own neighborhood? I mean, I understand.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, and I just wanted to get asked that question because when you talk of ethics, you know, there's a lot to go with that. Now, we want justice. That's fine. We have eyewitnesses that say exactly what happened with this thing. Okay? Now, you made some good points, but my question is, if we want them to uphold a code of ethics, we have to act like we have some as well, wouldn't you think?
Oh, no doubt. Listen, black people right now, as far as how we just behave, period, we are in dire straits. Our community, and there's a lot of things that play into it, especially in Milwaukee, the deindustrialization, the unemployment, the education gaps, the income gaps, all this kind of socioeconomic improprieties, all that plays in. And you are entirely right. We as a people need a code of ethics to operate by. But, I mean, when you have a kink in the system where that the law, they're professionals, they're paid to do this. And I don't want to take the risk. If you can't handle the job, you know the job is dangerous when you take it. And I think right now that a lot of these police officers are not from our community. And, you know, it's a tense place to be. The hood is a little scary if you've never seen it before. But I agree with you. We are acting like just we act the ass all the time. You know, here, even at our Juneteenth celebration, our youngsters act up and fought and snatch people out of cars. So I'm never, ever, ever going to dismiss our responsibility to act like we should be acting in our communities. But I just think when the people who – it's like a teacher who comes in the classroom and the kids are acting up, does that teacher then just take a stick and start beating kids down and beating them to death? I don't think that should be the case. But you're right. Black people, we're acting just so crazy right now, killing each other. But I do think police shouldn't be doing cavity searches on the street, beating old women, choking Daryl Gardner. We've had at least 5 murders by police officers on young black males in Milwaukee over the last 6 months. So, you know, I agree with you, but I still think there is a need for some sort of revolution. And I always say on my show, Chocolate City, we have to engage in a revolution of the mind, which means no burning buildings, no shooting at cops, but changing the way we think and behave, a revolution of the mind. So you're right, we're acting a fool, but that's still no excuse for them to shoot a 17-year-old 10 times, gun him down in the street like an animal.
Well, you know what, KB, I agree with you on that one, man. As I said earlier in the show, you know, I it's sad that another one of our young black men, you know, one that was headed actually to college as well, you know, once again was shot down in the street. And yes, I do say something needs to be done. But the way those individuals acted for the last couple of nights at least, you know, was not a way to bring any, well, how can I put it? Any attention to it, because now what everyone is going to remember is the rioting and not the fact that young boy was killed once it dies down in the media, because you know eventually something else is going to come along. They have to sensationalize a little bit more, and it's just going to go away. So we need to stay on top of this thing. That's for sure.
That's right. And I just don't think we should have paralysis by analysis. Sometimes you just can't sit and think too long. You study long, you study wrong. So I think they acted out, but I think their intention was to bring national attention to this problem to make sure there's not a repeat of the Trayvon Martin or even the Rodney King with the acquittals, you know, that we've seen in Frank Jude here, who got his brains kicked in by some police officers at a party, and they always get off. So I understand the rage, but I also understand, you know, we can't burn down our communities, and that's totally wrong. So like you said, so thanks for having me on, man. I'm staying on. I'm listening to this show because this is a hot-button topic right here for black people.
All right, man. Thank you, KB, for joining us today, man. All right, I got a few more individuals who want to get on the air. Let's see. Let me bring area code 347 on. We're going to bring Mr. Michigan in. And then I have 111 in the house. So welcome to the show, y'all. How y'all doing today? Go ahead and introduce yourself, and let's get on.
Hey.
Get on.
How y'all, family? This is Hotep Kenyatta calling in.
Hey, how you doing? It's Mike. Mike, what's up? Tuning in.
All right, Jim.
Listening on the line.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah,
hey, what's
we
up,
have...
Michigan? What's up, Hotep? How you doing?
Hey,
what's
brother.
Up, I'm...
This Mike, better known as All Facts.
Yeah, we in bad shape. Could I suggest that our people start flipping all this upside down, meaning we've been doing the same stuff basically for 400 years. Maybe we need to reevaluate what we're doing and say, wait a minute, why do we have to follow the cops? Meaning, why don't we run the police precincts? Why aren't we hiring our own security, our uncles, our nephews, to be the cops in our community? Why do we have to vote Democratic or Republican? Why can't we say, you know what, let's start a new party? Because obviously nothing is working to protect us or our children. You know, I have several children, and, you know, I'm in a city where – I'm in New York City, so this is like, you know, a jungle. If we follow the slave master's paradigm, it's like going into a building that is full of pedophiles, taking your kids in there and trying to follow certain rules to keep them safe. Okay, now when you see them, make a left. We can't win like that. They're going to keep killing us unless, I think, something drastic occurs in our thinking and actions. And I'm not talking a physical fight, because guess what? They got little white kids that shoot better than us. Practicing right now, shooting bullets. We can't win a physical war. We can do like the Japanese. We dropped two nukes on Japan, and what did they do? They used their mind, came back, and was buying up so much of Cali and other places, we had to pass rules to slow their roll. It's going to take a real mental revolution, not that we shouldn't defend ourselves if somebody comes to mess with us, but other than that, we got to do something different. It's enough of this. I mean, next week it'll be the same thing, and the following week, and Jesse will show up, or Al, and do their tap dance and get another paycheck.
That is some very, very good points, Kenyatta. And you know, you know that what they say, that the definition of insane is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting something, different results. And you know what?
Yeah.
That's where I think that's basically where we are now. You know, it's the same thing over and over again, but it is what it is. Let's see. Let's bring Mike in. Mike, what you have to say, man?
Well, Mr. Michigan was next, Mr. Talk. I think I'll be asking.
Okay.
I think he called him. I mean, unless you insist.
No, I don't insist.
Well, I had a question for the brother who I guess he's still on the line when we talked about starting to vote and getting on our legislators. I mean, this is that's we've been there, done that. You know, and the brother, you know, we said a revolution of the mind. I mean, we at some point we're gonna have to be specific. You know, what does that look like? What is a revolution of the mind?
Yeah, I can tell you it's... Okay, sorry for interjecting.
Well,
I think...
Go ahead.
Hold on.
Well, I just wanted to explain my revolution of the mind thing is, you know, sometimes you have to look at the specifics like that brother said. And I know in my city there's a certain percentage of arrests for just not having driver's license and back child support. And what we have to do is we have to put more of a premium on education. We have to take our kids. First of all, accountability as fathers is something. It's like a lost art. We have to take control of our kids. Our kids should not be walking in mobs in the street late at night terrorizing the community. You should know where your child is. So when I say revolution of the mind, I think it just means us as black men. I always point the finger at black men because we are supposed to be the leaders of our communities and our homes, which we're not. But I think once we put down our guns and put down bad examples and start making sure that we work together for the empowerment of the community. I think that's what the revolution of the mind looks like, instead of saying, you know, put the fight on World Star, or beat him down, or take a gun, and I'm staying strapped because I don't want nobody running up on me. I think together there has to be a collective grassroots movement that we say, and it's just like the Million Man March when we went for atonement. We just have to say, listen, we have to get together and stop the madness ourselves. We can't depend on the powers that be to fix our communities. That's all I meant by revolution of the mind. No burning, no shooting, because they got paramilitary units in these police stations. All this weaponry from Afghanistan and all that was brought back here and given right to the police. So they really wipe us out. So I just think we need to just start being more informed as voters. You don't have to be a Republican. You don't have to be a Democrat. But you do need to vote not against your interests or for the lesser of two evils.
Yeah. Yeah, I just, man, I mean, I hear the brother. I guess I'm not hearing anything that's, you know, less than, 50 years old.
Okay. That's cool.
You know what I'm saying? It's not disagreeing. It's almost like a recording, you know.
Right.
As far as legislation, well, you know what a legislator would say. He say, hey, well, it's in the court system. You know, let the court, you know, run its course. I don't know, man. I feel like we have to be a little bit more strategic, when you say revolution of the mind. We got to do something really different, man. Not re-microwave what we've already tried in the last 50 years. It's got to be something new. Very new.
A lot of organizing.
Organizing is not new. Mentoring is not new. Getting out on the streets, 100 men strong, mentoring young black brothers, that's not new. We've been there, done that.
Well, they haven't done it in Milwaukee. It's old, but we still slow. We behind everybody because the average person here don't even know who their alderman is they don't even know who's in office. We walk around politically blind and comatose in my city. So if they're more proactive in your community, hey, that's what's up. So I agree with you, man. Ain't no argument for me on that, brother.
See, if we have a revolution of the mind that is still on a plantation, what happens is it's not really revolutionary. But if we have a revolution of the mind that takes our mind back to Africa, Kemet, the Yoruba, the Ashanti, what that does is changes our paradigm. As opposed to us operating, thinking in Eurocentric ways, we then operate thinking in original black African comedic ways. So that may be the next step that we need to do, give up some of the European and Israeli and Saudi Arabian philosophies and go all the way back to prior to 2014. And then the revolution of the mind could be, in my opinion, more applicable.
Hey, they're going to run you out of town, brother.
Yeah, I know.
They're going to run you out of town.
All right, hold on.
That's my response.
Yeah, go ahead, Michael. You up.
Well, I got a couple of points. It's we do have to have a political mind. As far as marching, we don't have to march. When are we going to come together as a community across this country to have an agenda? The movement, the action has to be different. Well, I don't say it's different, no. I take back to what our ancestors did. They didn't just march. They boycotted. Let me finish. Trayvon Martin's case, and they said, well, we're going to boycott Florida. Well, old school civil rights star, he came and he said, I will not perform in Florida until, Zimmerman gets arrested. That was Stevie Wonder. You remember people said that they wanted, I think Jesse Jackson went and slept in front of the governor's mansion for all of this. Well, where was the petition to try to change the laws? Why didn't they have a statewide petition? See, the people has the power because they can change any law that's on the books factually. You can't. If you get enough signatures, that's the way it works. That's the sciences of the politics, the checks and balances. No one can deny that. But when we're talking about this case about police brutality, let's stay focused on that. Listen, when I hear the argument of these police killing our black teens, and it's academic right now to me, I think they have a quick finger trigger when they look at these young teens, these young boys out here, whether they're doing right or whether they're dressed like they think they should be dressed or not. Some people just being pulled over for petty stuff and, you know, stop and frisk, harassment. But let's just watch, let's take a look at this. We have about 40% of Caucasian males from the ages of 18 to 25 are getting arrested. About 48% of black males from the same age get arrested. Now, when we say arrested, we're not talking about convictions. We're just talking about the interactions, getting booked. You might get out of jail the next day or what have you. So we're just talking about arrest records. More, when they lock up white teens, you do not see unarmed white teens get killed. They can speak. They talk back to the officers all the time. They know them, you know, the Constitution more than anybody. You never see them interact with their kids. You see white teens getting killed, unarmed. But when you look at our situations, it's totally different. It's one-sided. If no one can see clearly hear this or see this, it's something. See, with this YouTube and media, things spread, news spread, people see stuff. With this Ghana situation and now this situation in Missouri, you're going to have some emotions. If something happens in Baltimore, I don't know, God forbid, if something happens in Baltimore, another teen gets shot like this, we may have an uproar here in Baltimore. Because everyone is alert right now. We're seeing these things. We're seeing the injustice. I know we're seeing Rodney King, but the cameras and stuff play a very important part in identifying, because if those cameras weren't there, we may not have no case. We may not have no lawsuit. So we have to take the benefit out of this. But looking at saying that we should do our crime, no. We're talking about police brutality. They're killing our teenagers. They have a quick trigger on that. They have a quick, you know, they just want to kill our teens. They look at our teens differently than they look at other teens. It's just a fact. Look at the psychology that they may have when they're interacting with some people. They already group them. They already demean them. They already prejudge them before they even have an interaction with them. Police don't even live in the community no more. They live out in another county. So you're dealing with people who don't even want to live around you, trying to protect and serve you. Total contradictions. We try to, in Baltimore, say we give the police officer extra $20 to $20,000 if they live in the city. All these cops don't, they're not, it's so the connection is not even there. It's crazy. But I don't think we should harp and look at our violence amongst each other. Listen, whites kill whites, black kills blacks, but we're talking about the authority who is trained, who says that they are better than the ones they're locking up. They are at a higher standard. They say these officers said that I am a better man than these criminals, so you better act like it. So that's what I want to say, Mr. Todd.
All right. Thank you, Michael, for those comments. And you made some interesting points. And however, the one of those I'm going to get with you on is, you know, as I said earlier when I was speaking, is I understand what the issue here is. But if we go out and destroy businesses and take the onus off what the major issue is, then we are doing our young men that are dying a very disservice. You know, there were some good points made in the chat room as well. Someone said, what was it? How are you going to – wait a minute. How does – oh, why would the same people who approved the law change it? You know? And that's a good point. You know, everybody talks
about... Well, the people change it.
Hold on, Michael. You know, and the people change it. The people could put so many this, that, and the other person in office. But, you know, once that person gets up there and finds out what the environment is, are they going to be strong enough to fight it and actually make some changes? I do believe a lot of individuals go up there with the right mindset that they're going to make some changes. However... You know, because of the names that you know, you know, never get, you know, are never challenged, you know, that majority is still there. What shall we do about it? I don't know, but we have to do something because we're not advancing at all.
Well, I think we should stay focused right now because there's a big, you can see the difference of our teenage. Listen, I have teenage sons. And listen, these people don't, our kids is getting killed. They don't have to be thugs or immigrants. I have teenage sons. They may get pulled over. We have to teach our children how to have interactions, and they must be taught how to have interactions with community. This is crazy. It's a crisis. You can clearly see the one-sided when it comes to our black teens unarmed getting killed by police officers.
Can I make a point here?
Yes, you can. Go ahead.
How y'all doing? Greetings, Chef Rob.
We want to welcome Chef Rob to the show, y'all, for those that didn't know. Go for it, man.
You keep talking about the looting part, okay? So I just like every situation with us, you know, they take it and they make it, they blow it out of proportion. And I really want to know, do you have someone on the ground to go ahead and say there's all this big thing of looting going on and all that other stuff? You know, I think the media is switching it around. I really feel also that
right.
It wasn't
I
for
agree,
the social media associated with this, some of the other networks would have never gotten involved because there's a whole lot of, you know, people's smartphones that's out here going ahead and sending that stuff right. To these, to YouTube and everything. You know, something that Mike did mention that's what's making this stand people's in the spotlight. But the whole thing is this. That was something the brother was saying earlier. I was trying to. I think I'm gonna try to come back to it. But like I said, just go ahead and then who's showing you these images and letting you know about all this looting stuff? Because I don't think it's as bad as they're saying.
Well, it was two stores, and it wasn't even in their own community. This is a mixed community, so don't compare it like it's white. I mean, this is crazy. Right now, it's propaganda. We need to focus on the confrontation, how the police and our community interact. That's what we need to be focusing on.
Okay, so here's my question then, and Michael, you just said it. It was just two stores, and it wasn't even in their own community. So because of that, it makes it okay.
No, I'm not saying it's okay. I've made a statement. Looting should stop, and I want to go later on about rebelling and these guns. I want to touch that. No, looting is, they should stop it. But to say when it happened, I have some understanding. But look, we know that, but it did. So let's move on. Don't shine on that. Because this is the big issue. It could have been more riots if it was that. You know, it could have been more.
I look at it another way. I look at it this way. You know, the individuals that you say is looting and the stuff that's going on. What is it that you did for your so-called community to go ahead and have that mindset? Okay, so you turn around and you want to go ahead and tear up your own damn neighborhood. That's when in each and every group, each and every neighborhood we're in. What gets our people into that mindset? We need to look at that a little bit more. That's how this situation occurs.
Right, but young people is going to look and see. Everyone is looking at the young people who did that and said they're hooligans, but those young people are looking at the adults and the generations before them, and he said, black community, what have you done for us? Because there was a world before they even came in this land. So I agree with you. Don't do it. Stop it. But don't belittle them for that. Let's take that action and say, okay, we're going to the looting and stop. Since we don't want to do looting, how are we going to loot in other ways then? Let's from there. We're moving away from the problem, Chef Rob. They're trying to change the dialogue.
All right, so let me ask this question. And Rob just brought up a very interesting point, you know, as in, you know, what gets our youth, you know, up in such a frenzy to where they feel they have to do it to loot and rob to make a point? Okay.
Well,
wait a minute. Hold on. So
okay.
My question is this. if that is the case, then we're going to roll it all the way back to where the foundation is supposed to be. Where are the mentors, the family members, the family that is laying the foundation to make them understand that this is not the way to solve any issues?
Well, where was the politician who was on that Senate council that heard that story, said we're going to get the black community together? I did not see no politician, me personally, get those groups together. If I was a politician, well, I'm not going to say me. If you know a crisis that's going to come on and stir up like that, you must, as a politician, city council, you get those people together. They represent, where are the representatives at that stood up? Forget Hal Sharpton. Where's the local representative men that's been elected in that community that did it?
I mean, I understand.
Have you ever been a kid? Kids are rebellious. Have you ever been 18, 17? You know how they are. I'm not giving them an excuse.
Michael,
I'm just saying.
You got one. Michael, you got two. Okay. All right. Now, the stuff that's still close. Don't play. All right. Anyway, hold on, y'all, hold on. Let me get this point out. Then whoever's speaking can go ahead and say it after I finish saying it, okay? Y'all about to make me forget my point messing with y'all, man. Mike, number one, if any community is relying on an elected official, then they lost anyway. I'm just going to put it out there. I'm just going to throw it out there because if that's who you're relying on, then you are way into the rabbit hole. I'm just going to put it out that simple. Simply.
No, I'm not saying I'm relying on him. Okay.
Mike, hold on. Let whoever's coming up after you go ahead and get theirs in. I think it was – who was next?
Somebody. Yeah, was Michigan.
Okay, yeah, go ahead, Mr.
You see, I don't know, man. You know, they say when you deserve what you get. I think – we're kind of seeing that historically, that the black community is almost in a position where it deserves what it gets. And let me tell you why I say that. We have enough history with living in this European culture to understand the relationship dynamic that we have with them. Now Mike says, well, these guys, and he's correct. You know, these guys have something psychological, right? So let's say there's something psychological about the police officers. Well, legislation does not change the psyche of men. And the other point, there's two elements of the law. There's the letter and there's the spirit of the law. And Europeans operate with us. The relationship they have with us is not on the letter of the law. It's the spirit. It's the intent. You see, now we can keep beating around the bush. In America, which is a European expansion, the value of black life is not the same as European life. They do not value black life. Now, you know, we can wiggle and teeter-totter all that shit all we want, but that's just the case. See, and if we don't use the historical knowledge that we have from dealing with these people over this many years, and then determine what direction we're going to put based off what we've already tried, then we're going to be on this hamster wheel. We're going to stay on it. So to me, doing anything that we've done over the last 50 years, to me, is marking time. And nothing I've heard today, and I'm not trying to disagree, but I've heard absolutely nothing new.
Can I ask you a question, brother?
Yes, discussion.
So we had nothing in stew. So give me an example of what we should go ahead and do to go ahead and do something anew, something to go ahead and make it unique, something to stand out, get people more involved.
Okay. Let me say this, brother. First, I believe that the quote-unquote conscious community owes it to the general masses to, first of all, let them know we are in a long, protracted war. That's the first thing. Whatever strategies that we employ, it's not be looked for a solution within the next 20 or 30 years. You say, well, it won't be no more of us. Hey, you could be correct in America. There may not be. But this is a war. Okay. Now, the brother, I forget the brother's name, but the shit is clear. We have to reconnect African people back to Africa. This is our power base. The African power has to generate from the continent into the rest of the world. That's the only way it's going to happen. Once the continent is seen as a global power, then the respect that Africans get around the diaspora changes, even brutality. Now, give me from a historical perspective, using history, a strategy that's other than that. And it's going to be, you could listen to a radio program 100 years ago and you'd be saying the same thing. I don't understand why we don't see that this is a global war and the African place of power is Africa, even militarily. I don't see why we don't see that. You know, that's my point.
You know, in my community, there's a disconnect with Africans and African Americans, and I've been told by Nigerians and Kenyans who I attended school with, and even those that live in our community, that they don't necessarily like us. I mean, they don't want to associate with us because they feel like that we are such a product of this European culture that we can no longer even connect with them. And I've also spoken with Africans who've said that we're impure, that we're slaves. And you know, I know not every African feels this way, but there is a disconnect because they come here and they don't really like us. I see them associate more with whites than they do with us. And this is in my community. So if it's different in yours, I understand that too, because I understand I'm only in a small portion of this country. But the disconnect prevents them. They have their own solidarity, and they most of the time don't cooperate with us in my community.
Yes, so exactly right.
Hold on,
Mike, don't get started.
Wait a minute. You know, I have to agree because you know I take a look at you know Africa, and I do scan the news coming out of Africa also. And they're not even united themselves half the time. I know a lot of it is tribal, but, yeah, they feel that it is a big difference between the American, African, and, one who's born right there in Africa on the continent. So, yeah,
Mike,
as well.
I got
somebody else I need to bring in, so make it real fast.
Very quick, brother. First, I will say this. The answers that I'm just hearing, I would almost be willing to bet that no one who gave an answer has actually been to the continent. That's the first thing. And we're not talking about the Africans who bring their ass over here. We're talking about you reconnecting to the continent. You don't need to connect with a Nigerian in St. Louis to connect to the continent. You need to connect to Nigeria.
Thank you.
And this notion that they don't like us is bullshit.
Thank you.
All right.
I go off what they told me, though. That might be true, but what they've told me is that they don't want anything to do with us. That comes from them. So
let me explain something.
Oh,
bro.
I want to say something so damn bad.
Yeah. Hold on, because you're going to twist it. Here it is, brother. Let me show you something, brother, from Milwaukee. The ones that you met here, the Kenyans and Nigerians here, I bet you 90% of them will identify with being a British subject first, being from the UK first, and then Nigerian, then they go ahead and identify with America. You got to pay attention to where they get that mindset from.
Wow, that's interesting. But hold on, let me bring Big Chris in because he's been waiting for a good 10, 15 minutes. So let me bring him in and get his two cents.
Only 10, 15 minutes.
Oh.
Yeah, hello.
All right, Big Chris, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on? In my mind, this revolutionary go back to Africa thing everybody's swinging on, Africa is dead.
How you know that?
I don't have nothing to. I don't want to have nothing to do with Africa, the African mind, or the. You know, if you think about it, we're talking about history. Africa is what got slavery started. Okay, here's the thing. Not so much of going back to Africa. Just have a conscious mind state, all right? And this is true, what the gentleman said about how people, black people or Africans, feel about black people in Africa. I've been on this show before. I've been to Africa. And not only I've heard of people from Africa in America tell me how they want black men to stay away from their Somalian women, and the African culture. I've been to Africa and heard it myself. This is not hype. This is not, well, I'm from this part of the city. I heard the gentleman say, or this part of the world. It's all over America. Africa don't want to have nothing to do with me, and I don't have nothing to do with them. I'm on another state of consciousness where Africa, to me, is just another place to visit, like Los Angeles and New York. They got their same problems like America does, and there's a separation going on. I don't want to have nothing to do with.
Well,
my thing is, what happened with the riots and all that and everything, this ain't got nothing to do with going back to Africa or uniting with your brother and so-called brother and sister in Africa, because they don't want to unite with you.
Well,
I'm
without
telling you what I know.
I don't believe that. Without an understanding of history, we make the assumption that America has been around for thousands of years. If your consciousness comes from a nation that was stolen from natives and used as slaves, and this nation is a bit over 400 years old, that's your consciousness. The suggestion that Africans are dead is preposterous. Europe, China, India, everybody's raping Africa right now while we're thinking that place isn't nothing. The fact that many Africans,
Africa gave black people away.
If I put a gun to your head and
go back to Africa Pride and all that.
No, you got
the dashiki wearing
things
and wear the dress.
All right, hold on.
You don't know what you're talking about.
I
represent me.
Who is
me?
Yeah,
that's the problem.
All right, hold on, Chris. All right. Man, I'm telling you. Woo, boy, this got heated. Now, okay, we're on the subject of Africa and Africans and the African-American, the Americans and whatever you want to call us, the black folk in America. Now, let's bring this back. Let's bring this black. Let's bring this back
bring
to
it
the...
Black.
Bring it back to...
Yeah, bring it back.
Let's bring it back to the original... To the original topic, you know, of this killing in St. Louis and our reaction and some of the reaction that was done by the looting and things like that. Now, understand... We're talking about we have to have a consciousness, or some of Brother Kuhn, I forgot your name, brother, but you start with the
Hotep.
K. Kenyatta, yeah. I don't know why I have such a hard time with that. I think I spelled it wrong. That's why. But anyway, the African, we need to get back to African roots and things like that, which is fine if it actually worked. However, you know, it's interesting that most of us can't even tell you, you know, what, four generations away, you know, who is who. So as long as I'm talking about Africa, and I think we've been indoctrinated or conditioned so much to where we don't even consider that part anymore anyway, because as someone mentioned earlier, we have become you'd be trained and conditioned by the Europeans so long to that is just what we fall into. And yes, there are those that will tell you straight up, I know nothing about Africa, don't want to go to Africa, and not going to Africa. You know, I think it's interesting to learn about a whole lot of different things, but I think I kind of feel You know, I'm in between. Yeah, I want to know, but in the long run right now, the question would be, what is it really helping me at this moment? Because I'm still living in a world where our young people are being killed, and no matter how far back or what my heritage say as far as African-related, I'm still here living today in today's world, and I think that's really what we have to really take a look at.
But isn't this violence against our community directly related to slave trade, directly related to slave catches, directly related? It's all connected. If we just think of it as us in a void, we wouldn't see that these cops were the slave catchers, and before that they were the people on the ships, and before that they were the Greeks with Alexander the Great going into Africa. If we didn't understand that many of our African people have converted to religions that are counter freedom, we wouldn't understand why they come here and think that we're below them, because we haven't converted. So the religious aspect plays a huge role in why we can't show to each other, because they look down on us, and we often look down on them and think that they ain't nothing. It all is connected, I think.
Well, don't say we. I don't do that.
I disagree with that, because it's just like so many things have been conditioned that people, that Mr. Talkie said it. A lot of us are being conditioned to believe. I think that's one of the things that's BS to me, is hype. People are conditioned that every time something goes bad in the black community, we got to relate it back to slavery. You know, it's just like a child that is a spoiled child that is making excuses of, well, you know, I'm a drug dealer because my mother used to drink, or I'm this way because I had no role model.
Strength.
You know, let that
well,
go.
Well, I want to say something.
It happens. And that's it happened. Okay, slavery took place, and a lot of people in the community need to let that go and say, listen, it happened, and this is not the reason why I'm this way. I can be successful in any other community that is not of my community. I can be successful as an Asian, anybody.
It's still exists.
All right, hold on for a minute. All right, hold on for a minute, y'all. Let me respond to Chris real fast, then I got to do this little commercial. Y'all know I got to pay bills around here. Anyway, Chris, you know what? I like what you're talking over there, and you know, but you have to remember, the more someone is in a specific place, I mean, I don't care, you know, how, whatever, you're talking about right now, it's going to conditioning. We call it conditioning, right? But basically, the only thing it is, it's immolation and assimilation. That's all it really is. We just choose a word as conditioning, because everyone knows eventually if you stay somewhere long enough, that's what's going to happen. You know, it's sad because I do believe that is the major problem why we are where we are today as a community, you know, especially the assimilation part. But, you know, I'm not even going to go there right now. We can talk on that when we come back. But I need to play do some money, y'all. Make some money. So I'll be back with y'all here in a moment, right after this commercial.
Let's Talk is happy to be sponsored by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. They have over 150,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now. And if you sign up at our URL, which is audibletrial.com/letstalk, you get one free audiobook and a one-month trial of the service.
All right, man, that was it. The show is sponsored today by Audible.com. That's right. Audible.com is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio, visual, and entertainment on the Internet. I mean, they have a library of over 150,000 titles. You know, if you become a user, you can purchase individual books. I mean, and they're really cheap. They really are. I got one for free. You know, you can sign up for an Audible listening program, which gives them book credits for each month for a low monthly price, and you get one book free each month. You know, so and you can download your choices and you can listen to them on anything you want to, man, really. You know, your iPods, your MP3s. I know somebody say, who really carries an MP3 anymore? Yeah, I carry an MP3, dang it. So you can download and listen to it on that, you know. I mean, they have, man, titles are just crazy. You know, they got sci-fi. They even have history, educational books, self-development. You know, I mean, anything you want, they have it. So check it out. And to help support the show, man, just go to audibletrial.com/letstalk and get your free book, man. Hey, at least you get one free that you can walk around and listen to over and over again. You become an expert on that book, right? You can say you got your education for the year. I'm just saying. But that's all we're talking about right there. All right, audibletrial.com/letstalk. Hey, check us out. All right, so we're back to our conversation, and man, I'm telling you, we're having an outstanding conversation. We're talking about the murder in Missouri, Ferguson, Missouri, and you know, I was just upset with the way that our younger individuals acted out after, you know, everything was done, because I think there should have been another way of doing that. But on this same token, though, you know, I want to keep the conversation going, but I want to talk about this new curfew in Baltimore. But I think before I go there, I'm going to let Mike go ahead and get his last comment in, because he's been chomping at the bit to get something in. So go ahead, Mike, your last comment.
Well, yeah, on this topic real quick, and I want to be updated. You know, I'm in school now, so I'm going to be learning something about my local area. I just want to say, see, on Discovery Channel, you'll see a white family getting ready for doomsday. I couldn't live my life thinking everything's going to, you know, be doomed one day. You see a white man and his wife, and you see his son, about 11-year-old, at the range shooting. And I'm saying this on TV, and I just said, just flip that. What if that was a black family, and you have a young black boy shooting that gun? Would it look different in the society? See, what I'm saying is, in this society, when people are saying that we should arm, train our teens to carry weapons, to have revolutions and stuff like that, well, you can dictate its own. But to try to balance and for us to have a society the intelligent way, the right way, is to challenge the concepts. And I agree, in this society, when someone is going to do something, if they think that they're going to get away with it, the problem is now we cannot let them get away with it in our own ways. So our ancestors showed us, because they were powerful back then, and the 60s was a very crucial time. We need to take some of those things. I'm not saying marching. Everyone want to say marching. But they stopped economic power, and they had a cause, because they did change some things. That's why we can talk like we're talking now. That's all I wanted to say.
All right. Anybody else have any rebuttals to what Michael said before we move on?
Well, I just wanted to say, you know. Just
one quick rebuttal. I'm sorry. All of our heroes failed in some way. Either they got jacked up and killed, or they miscalculated and sent all our business to white businesses, which is what Martin Luther King did. So it behooves us to look at each of our heroes and all of our time periods, pick what works, like some of you have already said, and then trash the rest, because we're going to repeat their mistakes. We're the new leaders, us. I'm telling you, it's us. They did their part, and now we're here to take over, to take it to the next level, just like the next track and field 100-meter person is going to break the next record. We can't just take 100% of what they did, or we'll fail.
Okay, I wanted to add that I hear everybody, and like I said, I think it's a great forum because there's no disrespect, and everybody can agree to have their own opinions. But my mom and my father were from Mississippi, and they were both sharecroppers, cotton pickers, if you will. Uh-huh. And I grew up, my mom trained us from day one to understand the racist power structure in this country. She did march. She marched with King. My mother marched for Emmett Till. She marched for Daniel Bell, Ernest Lacey, the list goes on and on. And her perspective to me was,
less is more. There's not a whole lot of black people that really truly have answers. The problem is when they come around, we spend so much time arguing about what they're saying that we forget we can't see the forest for the trees. But I do want to say this. The civil rights movement was around before Martin Luther King, but the brother said it earlier, and I agree. It really went into effect when they boycotted those buses and the white man lost money. So for my generation, if we stop buying $400 Jordans, if we just stop going to Walmart here in Milwaukee one day, the impact will be so great on this economy because we don't have a lot of jobs, which generates tax revenue. They will then listen to us. So I do believe one of the most immediate solutions that we need to undertake is just a couple of days. I mean, you can get your gas, you can get your food, but just at least one or two days out a month to start with where we don't go and shop with those businesses. We don't spend our money, and we show them that we can bring this country to its knees if we stop buying their products and helping to enrich this racist machine.
And brother from Milwaukee, let me add, I am assimilated.
My grandfathers and grandmothers founded this country.
Hold on, Mike.
So one of the biggest things I just want to go ahead and say is,
right.
look, we aid in our own destruction by going ahead and not developing our own. And one of the things I want to deal with, I can't remember which one of your brothers was saying this about, we tie everything back to slavery. Yeah, you have to. Because that was a mindset. We never truly came out of that mindset, a lot of us. We did go ahead and work, and we didn't go ahead and do the things necessary to put the safeguards in place so we can go ahead and protect us, so we can go ahead and continue and stay building things. They tore down our industries. We built up the railroad. This whole infrastructure here was built on black backs and black ingenuity, and the development of this country, go ahead, just the way they have this system is to go ahead and snatch it away for us and put a white face on it. So we never really got on track to go ahead and really build nothing for ourselves. So I think you need to go ahead and review that a little bit more. But a bigger issue I have here and part of this conversation is when I hear individuals, I'm for going back to Africa. Don't tear that down. If you don't want to go, don't come on automatically, because I don't think nobody was saying anything about going back to Africa. The thing that bugs me most is I hear you guys saying, I don't want to go, and you want to go give all these nonsense issues, reasons why you don't want to go. Well, keep that for me. Keep that to yourself, because I didn't go ahead and let you know. I'll bring it up when it's part of the conversation, but I don't go ahead and volunteer that information because me, myself, I've been there, and I know what I'm going into. So, and it's a much, much more positive thing. Why not go there and go ahead and be part of the way the world's hold on, Mike. Why not be part of where most of the world's resources are? It makes no sense whereby our birthright, that is us. We need to go ahead and connect with the brothers and sisters over there. And I also disagree with the brothers and sisters, individuals saying the brothers and sisters on the continent don't want us there. I've seen stuff a little bit differently. I don't know where you people say what you're saying. I've gone firsthand accounts, shaking hands with people, talking to people, and finding out what is really what. And we need to be a part of that. There are countries who will accept you in those lands with very little documentation. Just come on in, because that's part of their constitution, to bring you in. Because we know we have to have that connection. In America, any white group here, if we go ahead and tie back to their homeland culturally, this is the birthplace of my ancestry. Why is it that blacks, African-born blacks born in America who are of African descent, who want to have that big disconnect, but constantly go ahead aiding in their own destruction? Want to go ahead and do everything. You want to be whiter than the white man, and that's truly disturbing to me.
Can I say something? People are scared to say African Americans, but you can label me all you want to. It still says our grandfathers and grandfathers built this country. They can say American blacks. You can label it all. But see, Chef Rob, this is the big divide. Some
you
people
missed the point,
say
Mike.
That no. I just want to say in the black community, I'm just not talking about you.
You missed my point.
Hold on, no.
You missed my point. You're twisting what I'm saying. You missed
no,
my
I'm
point.
No, I'm not twisting what you're saying.
Let the other brother speak, because you're not. That don't do that.
Okay.
You can't
cut me off. I, please, 15 seconds.
All right, hold on. Go ahead, Michael.
I got something to say.
Real quick.
You can speak,
the big
Chris,
divide is our consciousness in here. Because some in our arguments, we need to stop saying arguments. Some people say, why try to fight as being a black American in rights when we're never going to get no rights here because this is not our society and this is not really our country. So we need to go back to Africa. And some, I'm not saying you, but some of the rhetoric is here is that we who want to stay, who believe that we are entitled to here because our grandfathers and grandmothers built this sucker, right? That we are, quote unquote, not you, but some, we're Uncle Toms, we're fighting, we're pissing in the wind, so to speak, because we're never going to be successful here, and we need to go back to there. I'm just saying, when you go back to Africa and you speak English, they call you an American. So, and you better go over there with some trades and some skills, because they're coming over here to get trades and skills to go back to Africa. That's all I wanted to say, sir.
All right, thank you. Go ahead.
What I wanted to say is, there are more slaves today than the history of slavery that took place. From what I'm saying, the only people that like to talk about slavery are slaves. It's just like about 2 years ago, I was in a, well, starting a relationship with a beautiful woman, but she couldn't let go of what her ex-boyfriend was doing. She'd always bring up, he did this to me, he did that to me, you know? You know what you reminded me of? What you just brought up? He used to do that. He used to do this. I said, you know what? You need to really let your past go so you can move on into a new relationship. Understand what he did was bad, and it wasn't that great of a relationship. But you are holding on to your past just like a slave. There are more slaves today in 2014 than there was in 1555.
It's amazing that Irish people can be hold on to their suffering and use that to their benefit. The Jews can do it every day. But when black folks do it, we're supposedly awful. Why can't we learn from our experiences? Why can't we get reparations for what all our ancestors went through? Why do we have to be the ones that always oppress but get depressed because we can't impress anyone with our pain? Why is that?
Thank you, brother.
Nothing wrong
Thank
with
you.
Us saying that. I mean, the Irish Americans, the Italian Americans, the Jews, the Chinese, everybody talking about, oh, potato famine, oh, what Europe went through. We went through more, and the crazy thing is the brother is talking like slavery has gone anywhere. It's still
Thank
there.
You.
So we got two
Thank
reasons
you.
To talk about slavery.
Slavery is still, slavery is in effect today, 2014.
Full effect.
And it's worse than what it was in 1555. Now, we can
in many
use
ways.
All the wonderful wonderful words and how to, you know, talk about it in a way where to go around it, but there are more slaves today than there was when black people was whipped and in them chains. So they ain't got to whip us no more. They know how to, you know, manipulate the mind and go into religion, go into politics, and go into music now. It ain't about whipping or hitting nobody.
Politics and religion, that's been since ancient of times. That's always been here. They had politics in ancient of Egypt.
Oh,
when you have different hierarchies in your society, that's politics, sir.
Hey, hold on. Okay, because I can see, man, we can go around on this circle all day long, and I want to get this issue as well. You know what, but I've listened to everything all the brothers have said, and you know, it's simple it's so simple that sometimes we overlook it, and we say it sometimes, but I don't know how much we actually mean it. But all right, somebody need to close off the train, please.
That's me. I'm driving. That might be me. I'm driving.
Basically, what we're talking about is words without actions. You know, we can talk about what we need to do and how we need to do it, or we need to come up with something completely new all day long. But if we don't have any actions to back it up or to follow through, then we just spinning wheels, basically going in circles as we were headed in that conversation. Now, I want to talk about something else, though, that's going on in Baltimore right now that apparently a lot of people have an issue with in that community, and that's a curfew. No, of course, everybody know, most people know, well, most people don't know, but Baltimore has had a curfew for like 20 years, but they really haven't done anything with it. Well, you know, this new mayor they have, Stephanie Runnings Blake, you know, she's starting a curfew which says children under 14 will be in at 9 p.m. all year. Let's see, children ages 14 to 16, curfew will be 10 p.m. on school nights and 11 p.m. on Fridays and Saturdays during the school year and the summer. Now, the ACLU and a couple of community leaders feel that, you know, by enforcing this curfew, this new curfew, that they're sending the wrong message as far as interaction with the police when the police pick up a child for violating the curfew. You know, the parents will be fined $500 and the children will be located in the Youth Connection Center, and they will have to talk to DPS and all that beforehand. And a lot of the other arguments are that the police are not set up to notice a child that is really in stress or, in other words, being abused or what have you. So my question to the panel that we have on now, you know, how do y'all feel about a curfew, number one, and do you think this will make a difference in the Baltimore area as far as crime or what have you? And being that we have someone who actually lives in that area, I'm going to give them first shot at it. Michael, where you at?
Yeah, how you doing? Well, first of all, yeah, my sons don't have to worry about this. Got a son going to college a couple of weeks from now. And my youngest, no, we don't play no street stuff like that. So, oh, that's good on my part. But let's look at the where they may be coming from. You have a lot of older drug dealers that get young kids to sell drugs and having them on the street late at night. So that's one good cause that it can be, because a lot of young people, some young people and the older people are just having kids. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, that's just the reality. That's one good thing. But to have that, to say in all this curfew, there is pros and cons to it. But the consequences is that we're still having struggling trying to open swimming pools in Baltimore City. Okay, they're still trying to open up prisons for young kids here. Where is the other initiative to saying that they must stay home? Where is when they do come out? Where's the recreation centers? We having trouble. Steppy Rawlins Blake having trouble keeping rec centers open. Why rec centers don't have the latest technology and Wi-Fi so kids can come and do it, their community rec centers. It's a disgrace. See, I understand what they're doing now. That's the only thing is me as a Baltimore person looking at my past and things. Well, yeah, I can see that, you know, why a young kid may be into certain earlier things. But having said that, you put that down on law, what is the interaction? That's why I say, the interaction when police deal with these young kids that may be out there. What's going to be their interaction? Are they going to get counseling? Are they going to get training? Are there going to be videotapes involved so things won't, you know, blast up? Because I'm telling you, people's going to be rebel, especially in the summertime. There's pros and cons to it, but as a citizen of Baltimore and lived there all my life, no, she's not telling the whole story. Where's the other initiatives to make sure that you, when they come outside, they have something to do? You know, instead of building goals themselves, they can have basketball goals. You don't have to fight over basketball courts. There should be plenty of basketball courts everywhere. People shouldn't be jocking or waiting a long time if that's what you want to do. Listen, she talk about young people riding dirt bikes, and it's a Baltimore and Philly thing. It is what it is. Young people ride dirt bikes all in the middle of the street. This city has never... That is a tradition, it's a custom, it is what it is, it's a part of our people, that's what they do. Where's the big rec centers initiative to get a racetrack for them or a dirt bike a track for them? They don't want to do that because they want to think, well, they're going to gather around. But they do let the kids on Sundays near Drew Hill Park, the police will go ahead and let them ride. So it is a balance, but where's the restructuring of that? So it's money that needs to be allocated to something because they don't understand us. So, I mean, it has its pros and cons, but I'm just saying if you're going to enforce that law, you better watch the interaction with the police. That's all I got to say.
You know, Mike, what you said real was what made a lot of sense, and it fed into Mr. Talk's point about when you're relying on these politicians and also these poverty pimps, you already lost. So at some point, we have to go ahead and get together and build our own economic structure, our own financial structure, and stay out of this and get out of this system, whether we want to or not. Because you see, it's not going ahead doing us any good. We need to build our own stuff.
But they're taking our taxes. They're taxpayers in there. And
you still missed the point about you missed what I said. Even they're taking our taxes. They're going to keep doing that until you build your own stuff. You can go ahead and set those boundaries. I go ahead and sit in on these some meetings here in Chicago, and I'm sitting there with next to these Chinese groups. The Chinese don't have a whole lot of aldermen and politicians, but the aldermen and politicians come and see what the Chinese want. That's because there's a lot of money floating around there. So let that
I know, but we pay taxes. We just had a bottle tax
you
in
still
the city government of taxes. What I'm saying is, bro, what I'm saying is there's a lot of money. We have it even
do you know
the
what the
city
TIF program
audited.
Is, Mike?
How are you going to audit? Listen, how are you going to raise taxes when you haven't done a
Mike.
City audit? Monies are being missing, allocated in the city. You know
Mike.
How it is. So what I'm saying is I agree, but you have
okay,
to come
okay.
on the
let
other
me,
side.
Let me show you something. They had what they call
because
a TIF program.
Taxes.
And this, I can't remember what this acronym stood for here in Chicago, but in these rough areas, even the areas, the high crime, this guy, this in Inglewood, this area here where they got a lot of shootings and killings, they had the TIF program, right? And all they did with that money, they didn't even let what the TIF program was the property owners, they were increasing the taxes and all this other stuff, and there was a lot of money out there. I mean, millions of dollars plus different agencies, different federal agencies contributed to this fund. Okay. This was supposed to go ahead be for community development, improving the neighborhood, the education system, everything. Why is it that money, somehow the residents didn't know about that money, but it went to build up the downtown area of Chicago? See, we paying all these taxes.
I'll tell you why.
Hold on. I know why. I know why. But we paying all those taxes, just like you said, we paying taxes. What is it getting us? That's my point. They paid all these taxes, and all that money went to a building up. And then the previous mayor here, he pocketed from these construction deals.
But the people need to kick their asses out. But
just
what about the innovation? How are they going to enforce this law? I mean, think it's going to be trouble enforcing it?
Okay.
You were saying, why was that money being sent downtown?
I know why it was. Don't misunderstand.
The reason why is because the money was private.
Hold on.
The money is private, and it can go anywhere it chooses. You know, it was government funded. It really never was the people's money.
I just explained to you what happened to the money. I know what happened. Okay, and I just explained to you. But my thing is what I'm trying to say. Why are you going ahead, just like Mr. Talk said, why are you relying on the politicians instead of doing the stuff yourself?
Because they allocate money.
You're missing the whole point here. I'm never saying you're going to get away from paying taxes. I never said that at all.
There's a valid point that you're not understanding, brother. If we pay taxes, why should we not benefit? We always got to give up everything. Give up Africa.
That's what I'm saying.
What the hell is that for? But also with the curfew, do you really think they care about our children? They put a curfew because more cops can arrest our children and they make
more
money. Otherwise,
they
would have put more money for pools and for tennis courts and for programs. So they said, it's like you coming to your party. All of y'all are hungry, but I bring one piece of chicken.
They just funded $10 million to increase expansion and renovation for the juvenile center downtown.
Yeah.
To go along with this.
It's
right. I mean, it's crazy.
It's crazy.
That's why the private
organizations that are doing that. It's not for the public. That money is not funded for the public. It's for private organizations.
No. When they renovating, when they're expanding juvenile facilities in Baltimore City, that's government funding. That's coming from the state. Sir, look, look it up on Google. I'm not lying to you.
Mr. Talk, I wanted to just ask the question because I agree with everybody. I just wanted to know, like the brother said, how will it be enforced? Because the problem with that is will it be grown-ups such as myself who are on the way home from work late at night, they get accosted by the police? I mean, are they going to stick to it? And I do understand that there's no reason for them to help us. There's no incentive because of the industrialized prison complex. Look how many jobs would be lost if we did stop going to jail. But on the final point is, I've been in social services, and we have in Milwaukee what we call truancy abatement and burglary suppression, of which I was a case manager with kids who had severe truancy, where if the police see you on the street during school hours, they just bring you to a center and you stay there. Now, as the case manager, so many parents I encountered, I would say, well, your child has missed 3 months of school. You're about to receive tickets and fines from the police, and I offer everything from buying clothes for the kids so that they would go to school and assisting them in transportation. And a lot of the parents just didn't want to do it. They just said, no, he need to go to school because I got to go to work and I'm not going to worry about it. So there is a certain resistance that comes from the people when those things come into effect. That's all I want to say.
You know, you said something really great.
There is a certain resistance. You said there is, the last caller said from Milwaukee, that There is a reason why some of these laws take place because of the parents. And that was what I was just thinking while you were saying it, that, okay, if some of these parents do not take responsibility for what needs to take place in the household, like their children going inside the household at a decent hour, the government will take over where the parents will be forced to be fined. They're going to start being fined because their children are not being in school. So I guess it's a good thing.
Well,
because some of these children that go to school are hanging out 2-3 o'clock in the morning in certain cities, and it's just not Baltimore. I saw in the news that other cities.
Well, it's
going to
be
well.
Right, but I'm just thinking a lot of times, I'm just saying it's going to be a change because in the summertime, you may have a 15, 16-year-old kids going down to the harbor, and then they may leave the harbor at 10 o'clock and catch the bus home. I mean, it is what it is. I'm just saying, she's going to react. I mean, that's going to be – she's paying with young people is going to make rebel. So I'm just saying, I'm
you
just going to play it out. I don't want our kids to get hurt.
And the argument you're putting forth right now is what a lot of the parents and basically the ACLU is trying to put forth as well. Look, I look at it like this. When it comes to the curfew, I mean, you know, but hold on for a minute. We got 3 minutes and 45 seconds left in the live show, y'all. So if you want to continue to hear this show live in about 3 minutes, you need to give us a call, 347-838-8622. Get on the phone lines. If you're in the chat room, you can stay in the chat room and chat, but you will not be able to call in if you have any comments you'd like to make on the air. All right? So
you're saying in Baltimore at 10 o'clock at night, a 14-year-old kid can't be sitting on his porch? He got to be in the house?
Michael, I never made my point. Hold on. All right.
I have to read the law.
Hold on, Mike. Will you hold on, knucklehead? All right. All right. Anyway, as I was about
lucky
to say.
I'm driving, man.
No, you lucky.
I don't want to get upset. Well, I don't want to have road rage. So.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway.
I want to see that.
Anyway, basically what I'm about to say, you know what, when it comes to this type of curfew, I look at it like this. Most of the parents that are actually doing what we call parenting and doing what they're supposed to do, they're not even worried about it because their kids are where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be. Okay?
Right.
I'm just going to put it out there. Now, for those, you know, that are, you know, okay, we're going to give them benefit now, working late and you know, they
right.
really don't have idea where the parents or where the kids are during certain times of the day or you know, the ones that just delinquent and they need, you know, to be sent home, it's a good thing. And I'm not saying, and the reason why I'm saying is because if you look at it, if it's adhered to correctly, it gives the family more time to spend together. You know, whether it's a single family or whatever.
Well,
you understand? Now, Mike. Now, I know what you're about to say. Well, if they pass the curfew time, what's going to happen? Well, this is from what I read. This is what's going to happen. They're going to be taken to a center where they're going to have to talk to some people and their parent You know, and they won't be taking in their police car or anything like that. You know, they have a special van for kids or whatever, and they'll take it on down like that. I'm not against it. Because if you take a look at the crime rates in places like Baltimore, Miami, L.A., Detroit, Chicago, Dallas, you know, maybe that is something that will spearhead or help curb our young people incarcerated and killed. I mean, that's the way I'm looking.
Real quick, guys, I remember, now let me go back to my life. I remember I was, 15, working at McDonald's, and I had to catch the bus. And I was within this, plus it's summertime in high school.
Well,
I didn't wear my, hear me out. I did not wear my uniform on the bus. That's just how we got down. When I changed my stuff, that's just how I got down. I ain't wear my uniform. I would come home around 10:30, 11 o'clock. I was working as a teenager in the summertime. So what I'm saying, it has to be a balance. What if someone is working? What is the situation? How are you going to point these people out? Because you're giving a lot of responsibility into a police officer of identifying, profiling, and stuff. What I'm just saying, what does the law say? Can they be sitting on their porch? A lot of teenagers can be sitting on their porch at 10 o'clock and laughing. And you know, parents may be in the house. What does curfew mean? Do they mean that be in the house? What's going on? So they can play these games. I'm saying they can try to enforce and lock the kids up in the house and say, you be there, but we see the real issues. What about the other stuff? That's all I'm
Michael,
saying.
Michael, you know what the real issue is? Well, no. You know what the real issue is, and you just put it out there what the real issue is. Instead of saying, okay, my child will be in my house or wherever at the appropriate time, you're making excuses for them to be out there somewhere.
I'm not making excuses. No, I'm not. See how he did? How I'm making excuses? I'm just saying.
I done told you, boy.
No, I don't. Can I say
I ain't got to argue.
He can say
you.
What he wants. That's his white blood, right? I'm on Mike's side. Let me tell you, you're getting tagged up now. Here's why. Because in physics, right, no energy form can be destroyed. What happens with it, it's transformed into another energy form. So let's apply that to young people. They have a negative mindset. Not all now. Let's say it's me and I'm a young kid and I'm into some bullshit, right? Here's what happens. You don't let me go out. You think my bullshit is going away? No. So it's going to blow up in the home, or I'm going to do more stuff in the morning that's bullshit. So the real problem is, how do we get rid of the BS? Meaning, how do we get these young people motivated so that they don't think about doing nonsense? That's the problem. It's not locking them up, curfew, none of that.
That's easy. So, you know why? Because, number one, if they're home with me, then I control as much of the bull crap I want to hear and what they're going to do. Number two, you know, if it's that freaking bad, then you put them in front of a book or something and make them read. See, that's what I'm on. You know, everybody's looking at this thing as it's such a bad thing, and I'm looking at it like it could actually work better for families than against them. You know, everybody thinks, well, what about the police? What about the police? No, what about getting this kid in the house to where you as the parent can sit there and talk to him or you know, spend some time with him that you usually won't spend any time with him because they're out there running the streets 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night. By the time they walk in the door, you sleep on the couch. You know, maybe it can help you show that you really care about your child. Maybe that's just me, and I may be older than most, but that's the way I look at it. But as I said before, most parents that aren't really worried about this type of curfew because they already have control of the kids and the environment and what the kids do. Now, Michael said, what if you come home from work? Well, that's a different situation, Michael, because you have a legitimate reason for coming from somewhere that time of night. And, you know, they are allowed to do that. But if you just out there hanging on the corner just because you want to see, you know, look at the girls come out of the strip club or what have you, no, that's not acceptable. Or just to be hanging out because you have nothing better to do. No. You know, and the times that are set are age appropriate. You know, so it's not one big general curfew. You know, so
they're hanging out.
If that's gonna help our young men and women make it to adulthood and be successful, I'm all for it. I really am.
Brother, what happens is if we look at things the way we see it only, we never develop what's called empathy for other people. Now, none of us on here probably will have children who do dumb craziness, I'm hoping. The problem is that's us. We are outliers. We're statistical outliers, good fathers. We're doing our thing, you know, against all odds. Unfortunately, in my humble opinion, we are not the norm. The norm in our community is our men are not men. They are too busy chasing other booties. They're spending money on rims, and the kids are growing up on their own. So if we implement a curfew, what will happen is when those kids get home, it's not like all of a sudden all these deadbeat fathers and brothers will be like, hey, come here, son. Let's have a hug. No. It's going to be the kids go in the room, go on the internet, go on the porn sites and talk some bullshit, and then go right back out later with less time to do nonsense, so they will maximize that time by releasing energy like a nuclear bomb in terms of what they do. I see it as just a tactic used to get us in jail, not me and you, but our kids, if we don't watch them. Otherwise, there would be a budget for things like pools, like the brother said. I'm telling you, they don't care about us, period.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like, why are we helping create a society that you got to go ahead and live this lifestyle, live your life this way? And also, there are also a lot of people who are working, who got to go ahead and work those hours because that's how they can go ahead and put food on the table. So they won't be at home at nighttime because a lot of jobs want you to work that shift. That's how you get into the company. So a lot of times the young people are on their own. And what's going on in the street seems a lot more fascinating than what's going on the home. So they're learning that street life. They ain't just hanging out. They're just learning that life. It's a rotten educator, but, that's what's happening.
Yeah, well, you got a good point. Go ahead, Michael. Your mic is open.
Well, I was just saying, I mean, you just got to come up with certain ways. I mean, I'm just thinking how the politicians, they're human beings just like you and me, and just saying we just got to, put people up. I just wonder how they're going to enforce it. I'm not taking up for it. I'm not giving an excuse. I'm just saying we have a crisis of our young people having a problem with the police, and then now this curfew into enforcing it. I'm just saying, I just hope there's education on both parts. I mean, like I said, when I come home from night from school, I'm going to look into this. I haven't, been abreast of this. I mean, been abreast of the situation. But it's going to be interesting, though. I just hope nobody gets killed and, things of that nature. I just hope it doesn't get, out of hand. So.
All right. I wanted to say that if it's so much of a crisis with the police, that might, encourage parents to get their children home at 14 before 2 o'clock. And why would a child at 14 want to be out after 10 o'clock anyway? All the malls are closed. The library closed at about 7 o'clock in my city. So there's really nothing, there out and about for a 14-year-old to be doing at 9:30. So, I mean, it's really something – like passing a law for a child to be home before 10 o'clock, I think is a brilliant idea.
Okay.
You shouldn't, the law shouldn't tell you go ahead and do that. That should be common sense. I mean, that's my
right.
Point.
That's the government intervention saying
putting
that law down.
Where
right.
We allow these people to go ahead and dictate our behavior. What are we
right.
doing?
Right.
But Rob, you know what, Rob? It's easy to say that, but you actually do have those parents that actually allow that. It's not that they're working late. It's not that they're busy or anything, or they're doing schoolwork. They just at the house, and the kids are out running around the neighborhood.
Yeah,
So what about sitting on the porch?
Wait a minute. I'm talking. Hold on. Mike, if they're sitting on the porch, that's fine. They're with their parents.
No, the curfew said they must be in the house.
Michael,
what does the law say?
Michael, if they're on the property, then they're sitting at their house, okay? Come on now.
Okay.
Let's not get...
I didn't read the law.
I mean, curfew
but
means in the house.
The other thing. But let me get back to what I was talking about. Damn it, you done kind of sidetracked me now. But dang it, I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, yeah. You know, for those parents that are just sitting in the house just because their kids are running all through the neighborhood, I think this is a very, 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 very a very good thing, because the child is now forced to come home, and the parent is finally, I hate to say it like this, but true, forced to do some type of parenting.
You know what?
Go ahead.
If the kid is sitting on the porch, so if the police come up to the house, wouldn't you go ahead and approach that cop? Hey, and if they gave you a ticket or whatever, they say, why would you go ahead and why would you come through my gate on my property and on my porch to go ahead and mess with my kid?
Oh, man, come on. I mean, that makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, but when you say curfew, I don't know the definition of a curfew. Do you say the kids have to be in, it can't be outside? You know, because a lot of, I don't know.
You could be on your property.
I just want them to enforce it.
Shouldn't do it, that this shouldn't be enforced, and the government shouldn't have to intervene and interfere with it. Well, they did. It's too late. The government made a law to put a stop sign up. Whenever you see the stop sign, stop. Obviously, because people wasn't stopping. They put up traffic lights. That was the government. If you don't put up the traffic light, people are just going to randomly just walk, go driving any way they please. So some things need to be enforced that the government needs to be getting involved in.
What if the teenagers protest and say all of us going to come out a certain area on social media and then they can't lock all of them up? What happened?
From one different thing to another. You know, the government enforced a curfew law. I think it's great. I'm behind it 100%. Those who oppose it, obviously, is hard to do with slavery. I don't know.
Okay, hold on for a minute. Hold on. You know what? I'm with you, Chris. I think it's a great thing for those that not. Now, Mike asked, what is a curfew? Like, he really doesn't know what a curfew is. But it's an order or law that requires people to be indoors at a certain time at night. Now, if you look at it from a parent's point of view, it's the time set by a parent at which a child has to be back home after going out. Who's making that announcement?
You're killing me.
Well, Mr. Talk, I just wanted to say, because I got to go, man, I really appreciated it as usual. I love your show. I love what y'all are doing, and I just encourage brothers to keep talking and listening to each other and not arguing. And like I say, man, power to the people, and I hope we can fix some of these solutions. I'm a high school football coach, so I got to get up here and work with my boys to keep them out the streets, man. But I had a great time, man. Thanks for letting me
on. What's your show?
Yeah, go on, plug your show real fast, McKB.
Well, the show is Chocolate City, S-I-T-Y, on Saturday nights at 7:30 on Blog Talk. We come on Thursdays and do Outlaw Radio, and that's just more of music and stuff like that from our generation. But this Saturday night, we are going to do Fear and Respect, the Crossroads for Black America. I want to talk about, do we want to be feared or do we want to be respected? And if we want to be respected, some steps that we have to take in order to put that down. Last week, we did Fuck the Police, Brutality in America, pardon my language, before this St. Louis thing happened. So it just lets me know that we do have our fingers on the pulse of what's going on with our people. So I appreciate it. If you listen, I would love for any of you brothers to call in. The floor will be yours. And once again, I had a great time, man. Thanks for having me.
Thanks.
All right, KD. And you enjoy yourself, man. Thank you for stopping by. All right, y'all
right
got
on.
That? All right.
I wanted
okay,
to repeat
Mike.
It.
Oh, well, too late now. God dang it. All right, too late. I'm sorry. You missed out on that one. All right. All right, Mike, go ahead, man. Yeah, I know you had
I don't want y'all to twist my words, and I agree that the police, you know, and a law can make law, but don't forget the power of the people. And I remember watching a movie, and they said, well, they can't lock everybody up. See,
yeah,
things can be a rebellion. I'm just saying, hypothetically speaking, because we speak hypothetics all the time. The kids can get on social media and say, we're going to come out at a certain time. They can't lock all of us up. See, so I'm saying the people always have control. Believe that.
That is the government. That's why you have laws to try to control the people, because they know the people really has control. So we try to balance things out. What I'm saying is the curfew is good. I understand kids are on the street. Only thing is, I am concerned, just like they may mistaken my 18-year-old, I don't know, for a certain age, I don't know, how the interactions with the police, what are the interactions, and make sure that's progress, because we don't want to keep on having our teens shot and killed unarmed. They're going to be getting some unarmed teens. That's all I was saying, Mr. Talk. I'm not saying the law is not bad, but watch your enforcement, because all laws must be enforced. That's all.
The law there's the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. They have tons of laws on the books that look good, right? But who ends up getting shot or jailed? Us. There's a law about in school you do this. There's a law about the streets you do that, driving. But we end up with the short end of the stick. So from a logical position, it would seem on the surface that the slave master is doing something good. Whoa, this is all good. But I think not my children, but many of our other black and brown children are going to get the short end of the stick. And it bothers me. My kids are able to go out, 10 o'clock in my community if they want to. I might travel with them. But we need to watch when an enemy is setting up laws. That's really a sign. If you Hitler is in your town and he's setting up laws, I want all the black people to eat no barbecue chicken, or it's bad for your health. We're going to be like, oh, snap, Hitler's looking out for us. Good looking out, homie. No, Hitler's planning how to gas our butts. This is not a friendly, black-friendly nation. It hasn't been since we first hit our heads here. So anything they do, I'm suspicious. It's like a serial killer. If he offer me something for slice of pizza, I'm like, wait a second. What the hell is this thing?
Here it is. You know, listening to what you and Michael have to say, and Chef Rob, here's the question I have for y'all. So could this be, and being that Baltimore is as close to D.C. as I guess you can be, is this a practice for what is forthcoming as a police state, and they're just using this to see the effects that it would have?
Don't connect Baltimore with D.C. We have our own problems. Come on, D.C. No, please don't connect us with D.C. This is a Baltimore thing. We have our own crisis. D.C., listen, D.C., as Braden says, oh, yeah, we overcome our problems. Baltimore, you ain't come, but they have federal help. When the feds come on, they ain't just had no state. They had a federal government helping them on that crisis. So please don't connect us with D.C. Please, it's true.
Okay.
You should hear some people in D.C. talk about, come on, man.
Wait a minute. Let's go back to the question I just asked. Being that D.C. is so close to, Baltimore, could this be practice for the so-called police state that is supposed to be coming in the United States, and they're beginning to start at the closest place they could besides the Washington, the Capitol? Could this be that's what this is, and why there's so...
Something's got to be happening. I mean, like, something's got to be happening. I mean, look, you go back to when the Patriot Act was put in place. I mean, it's slowly but surely this, that, you can't do this, you can't do that. And it's more and more control by a small group of individuals. Something's going to happen bad. You can't keep doing this.
And what they often do, there was a frog experiment where scientists, and kids practice this too in some science labs, they put frogs and slowly increase the heat of the water. And the frogs don't know it, before they know it, they're cooked. We are the slave class that is the canary. They experiment on us in football when they go after Michael Vick or whatever. We're the first ones. Now, if it goes down well with the average white person, then they implement it on them because they're the surf class. They're stepped supposedly higher than us. And then, of course, there's the buffer, another buffer class, the 1%. But then there's the real controller, the 0.0000, they're about 6 zeros, 1%. So it behooves us to look beyond what an enemy group is doing. Then when they claim it's good, and I'm repeating that theme, and say, well, if they're shooting our kids, why all of a sudden they loving our kids? That's like, they don't go together.
Let me ask you a question. How can you serve and protect somebody? How can you serve and protect somebody that you don't want to live around?
I want to say this, living in America, I don't feel too comfortable even about my own race. See, so when I hear people so comfortable about how black people can be trusted, you know, they are enemy too. What if black people enforce this law about curfew and white people ain't had nothing to do with it? We don't know who it was. You know, black people have rights just as well as white people do when it comes to making laws. You know, we can't just say this is the white man trying to destroy black people all over the world. Okay. I mean,
are you serious?
Black people like to do it too. Black people like to sabotage and kill their own people as well. They enjoy it more than the Klan do, I believe, today in 2014. There is a new slave today. And
it scares me
when I hear people so comfortable around their own race, they think all black people are good. Look, man, wake up. I'm just telling you.
So who said all black people are good? Who said that today?
Right,
Where'd you get that from?
Wow. No. Most white people kill each other. You're going to kill the people that you're around.
That's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is white America is not what we think a white America is.
Okay.
There are a lot of other things that's going on under the table that will never even be discussed or want you to think what's really going on. Just let them think that, yeah, it's the white man. Keep them on that level. Keep them in the matrix.
So when you go to that next white man meeting, you come back and tell us what's going on.
He created two straw men back to back. He said things that none of us said, but then he's applying it to us as though we said it. Nobody ever said black people are perverts,
exactly.
Don't do bad. So, I mean, we are arguing a point that he created that we never said, so it's preposterous.
Thank you.
Ad hominem policies also. I mean, of course black people mess up. We're not perfect. My point I want is, focus on me because I was pushing it earlier, is that the white system, the 0.00001%, control almost the entire planet, excluding China and Russia, right? That is how it is. They get little people like Obama to go in front of camera and talk stuff like they control nothing. No president has ever controlled much, even though they could do executive orders. And things haven't changed back to the historical timeline much from 400 years ago. Of course, you had some black folks back then shuffling and dancing too, just like we have it now. And if we're not careful, brothers, whether we have good kids or bad kids, they're all going to be lumped together and shootable, expendable, just like what we saw just happen. Not bad kids, maybe just a bit, whatever, even if they were arrogant, but that's not an execution, and it shouldn't be. And I'm just so concerned that we're losing and we're not in – not you all, but our community is not in SOS mode, not in crisis mode as in, oh, my God, if we don't get this together, we over, we're done.
That's because they got fantasy to go ahead and block out the reality. That's what the problem is.
Can I say something real quick?
Fantasy, go ahead, block out. You can ask almost any young black person today. You can ask them about the leading black scientist, they wouldn't know. You can ask them about the leading black doctor, they wouldn't know. Leading black engineer, even the leading black banker, wouldn't know. But you ask them about the entertainment field, they give you a big rundown. You see
that's
where our minds
point.
Are.
That's a good point. Very good point. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I didn't know. I thought it was me. I just want to say something, you know. You're right, Chris. There may have been some black people that, you know, wanted her to do it. And it's probably some from the old generation, too. Because, you know, a lot of senior citizens, they vote. They're a little more political than the young. That's why the young need to be more political. But see, though, I agree. In the 80s and the 90s, there was a lot of black people in the Congress said, yeah, we need to pass three strikes, you're out rule. We need to lock up all of our cousins and our brothers, the war on drugs. Lock them all up. All the black mayors in the city, guess what, ain't do nothing yet. It's not the problem, sir. I mean, I'm sorry, it's not the solution. It hasn't been. It's proven. So we need to change the dialogue and what we're going on in our community, sir. You can lock them up all you want to, but that's investment, and that's just feeding the mechanism. We're not going anywhere.
I got a question for you.
We've tried that.
I got a question for you. Do you know much about the law? I mean, and anybody, Mr. Talk, you brought it up. So this thing is to go ahead and get the young people off the street. So, you know, I think a bigger issue is like, hey, look, that's not really going to go ahead and really reduce crime. It may stop some young people from getting hurt. But it's still going to be a lot of crime out here because the majority of crime is committed by adults. So what is it going to go ahead and really do?
Well, that's
lock them up, feed that expansion prison.
You know what,
that's
a good question, Chef. And if Mike be quiet, you know, I maybe can help out a little bit. You know, I looked at it like this because, as I mentioned before, you know, those parents that, you know, have the kids at a decent hour, that's still going to continue. So that's going to kind of sway the demographics on this thing a whole lot. But I would like to hope that this new curfew will at least save some of our young generation from, you know, a life of crime or what have you, just by having to be in the house, you know, at a certain time. I know that's kind of dreaming or far-fetched, but we have to do something. Now, everybody has said the same thing. We need to change the dialogue. We need to come up with something new. Well, as I mentioned before, you know, Baltimore, this curfew is nothing new to Baltimore. Baltimore has had a curfew for the last 20 years. I mean, so, you know, they haven't really enforced it, and I'm assuming, probably depending on when this mayor come out of office or if something else come on, this curfew would just probably become null and void like the other one basically became. But my question is, if we need to change the dialogue, we need to come up with something new. The question is, what is that new, and what is that dialogue?
Okay, that dialogue is this. I can tell you real quick. In Baltimore City, you can look it up, they had to turn away teenagers for summer jobs. They just want to make $1,500 during the summer working with the city or private organizations. They had to turn away, and then we don't want these kids to sell drugs. And listen, I say if you do that with the curfew when they're outside, fund every community center, swimming pool, make sure if they have all the jobs that they want, let the city fund it and give them jobs and have a proactive. So guess what? So after the summertime, they're after working all day, they can go home and they can be in the house and get ready to go for work. Because I'm letting you know, they turned a lot of people away because they didn't have enough funding, privately and publicly. So
okay.
I'm letting you know, we need to talk about some balance.
All right, Mike. Okay. Balance, you may call it balance, but my question is this. After those summer jobs are over with and the money has stopped coming in, now what do?
They
so,
go
so
to
right,
school.
Listen,
they go
no,
to school
no,
and you
listen,
have the recommendation.
I'm finna put it in your perspective. So now a child that's used to having $1,500 or whatever in their pocket, you know, they don't have anything now, so it's okay for them to slip out, you know, and violate curfew and go and sling a couple of rocks here and there to make
what?
Them
get
Can I tell you, why did you just turn that situation of a black kid working in the summer school getting $1,500 and going to school, now he's going to be selling drugs? Why did you go there?
Michael, I repeated what you said.
A major problem. Here's what we are inadvertently doing again, and it's innocent. The system creates what a criminal is. It doesn't say Wall Street executives no longer lie to your clients. I know a lot of Wall Street guys. Or it isn't saying politicians stop causing wars that kill children and you got to be home by 10 so we can keep an eye on you. What it does for our people is create constant roadblocks. Okay, you got to do this, you got to do that, and you got to do this. Now, do they provide the funds to do the other stuff? No. So if we trip up and I'm late getting home, here comes the popo. Why aren't you home? It should be the opposite. The people on top making the $100 million a year, $50 million a year, they should have rules and limitations because they can afford it. We can't. So they always have us in this position, a defensive position. Oh, man, I got to do this. Oh, system says do that. And I really think it's a way to continue to perpetuate not only the prison industrial complex, but the stereotypes that black folks are always getting in trouble. Because who are the ones that are going to get arrested? It won't generally be white kids living in the suburbs. It'll be our people. So then white people go, there go those black people. You can't trust them, can't trust them, can't even hire them. Look at their kids. Oh, my goodness, they're rioting. They're eating barbecue chicken and listening to Lil Wayne. Oh, they set up.
Hey brother, let me tell you about something that happened to me a few years ago. I was taking a city train here, from the suburbs of Chicago, and then going to Chicago and coming back. I had to do that almost all day because of stuff I was doing, relying on that public transportation. And I waiting at the station. I decided to go ahead and walk across the parking lot and go to one of the restaurants. There was a big incident here where some young girl had. Her kid got beaten to death, and there was like controversy about it. You know, then they come to find out, okay, well, it was her boyfriend beat the child to death and buried the baby in the park. There was a white gentleman and an older gentleman and a younger gentleman in the car. And the younger gentleman, I heard it, they were playing it on the radio in his car, and I can hear him. Why do the blacks always do that?
Yeah,
I'm like, wait a minute, man, hold on. You know what you're saying? You know, and that's how a lot of people think. And based off what the brother just said, they will continue to have that perception of us because they're going ahead creating this whole situation why they're always getting locked up. And so the statistics are skewed a whole lot of times by us doing crimes in America. You know, that's where they go ahead and they try to justify and get support from other people. We want to get this politician. He's tough on crime. The whole crime thing is a constant moneymaker for America because if they whacked out crime, It would go ahead and wipe out a lot of industries.
When you have to get a summer job as a child, your parents have to be on a certain income. So, Mr. Talk, these are people with low income. And a child who wants to do something legit, I strive and I say do that. And I'm just saying we have to look at the other side, too. We want to go to penalties. Let's penalize people, but we don't say where can we prevent things. What about the preventive maintenance? You know, come on. What about the prevention?
You know what the prevention is, Michael? The prevention is the damn sorry-ass parents that's causing all this to go on to get off their butts and make some things happen. Now, I mean, you mentioned some very interesting points. I had during the summertime, I had a job. We used to call it red caps. You know, every summer you go out to the city or what have you, and yes, but at a certain time, I knew my behind had to be home, and that's where I was, because that's what my parents required of me. But that is not different. That is the same thing now, except for, you know, the city says, okay, since, hey, we need to do something, we're going to impose a curfew. Now, let's not get it twisted. This is not something that was just created, because this curfew has been in effect for some 20 years now. So, here it is. It has already been there. Okay. It has already been there. Now, and one individual said that, well, how are you going to institute a new one when you haven't been policing the old one? I can understand that. I really can. And I can understand that, you know, the interaction between a police and a teenager at a certain time of night is never a good interaction. Okay? Let's go on and put it out there. I agree with that. However, now, in not all cases, though, is it the police's fault, the policeman's or policewoman's fault. Now, I know this because I have some former soldiers that are cops, and I know how they are, and, you know, so let's be honest. This is one of those things to where it has to be worked on both sides. Not only must the police be educated as to how to deal with these young kids, these kids walking at night, we need as parents. I didn't say a counselor. I didn't say somebody else. I said we as parents need to also be able to educate our kids how to deal with law enforcement if encountered at certain times of the day or night.
But doesn't that put us back in the same position, brother, where we're educating our kids how to get around the laws?
But see, once again, here we go with here we go with another cop. Then, so what is the answer? What is the answer? So we just let our kids run around. They see the police, they run and hide. You know, make sure they got a shortcut they can cut through real fast. But you can't outrun the radio. You can't outrun a helicopter. So what's going to happen?
Right.
Okay, but I'm just saying how young people are. I'm not saying, just hypothetically speaking, these kids start running from these cops. They got to make sure when they chase these kids, don't beat them up. Don't try to kill them and shoot them and things of that nature. But I want to say this. When you enforce this, you haven't enforced it, but this is a 20 years ago. We still have problems, but right now with this killing and this, you know, stuff like that, this is a different atmosphere in this country right now. So, like I say again, make sure the interaction. I agree with you, teach your kids how you handle this police officers, but they need to be trained also. Because killing somebody 7 times unarmed, that's crazy. Somebody was mad shooting somebody, a teenage boy, 7 times. I don't know what's going on.
That's the whole point.
Something with some rage. 7 times?
That's why we go ahead into us versus them thing. And a lot of them, have on uniforms, and they got already a preset, you know, they already got a preconditioned mindset about black folks. Missouri is the place where they was the last state to go ahead and end slavery. So you think about that mindset. It's in.
And the fact that a law has been on the books doesn't mean that the law is or was valid or moral. We can't use as an argument that the slave master, I like to say that because I look at it as a plantation still, has a law on the books that the slaves have to be in by a certain time. But it's been on the books for 20 years, so it must be good. No, we can't take the number, the age of something, and come to the conclusion that it's appropriate. Otherwise, then what we do is take their evidence and use it against ourselves. Now, I'm not saying that parents shouldn't be responsible. That's not my point. My point is just that our black folks have it tough enough. We got it tough enough, man. We got so much on us that we need a break. We need some break. We need some slack. We need somebody to knock on the door right now and say, yo, brother, yo, sister, what's up? How you doing? Oh, big bills? Yo, the kids' problem? Here we go. We're not getting that, and we got more stuff on top of us. Now, my kids will be fine because I'm going to make sure it's like that. But unfortunately, not many of our brothers either have the time or the capacity or the concern to do that, and their children will suffer, and their children are my children, because I feel just as much pain when they're killed as if my children are killed.
But in these days and times, your children may not be doing nothing, and they may be profiled.
Yeah, that's true.
And things of that nature. So we all need to be aware of what's going on out here.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, Lord, have mercy. All right. You know, I'm a...
you got tagged up on that.
Well, I may have got tagged up, but I can get my way out of it. I really can, you know, because basically what we all talk about is called parenting. And I've often said, if y'all trying to speak, your mics are muted right now because we got to get up out of here in a few minutes. But I'm going to let y'all get y'all last word in. But basically, all it is parenting. You know, yes, I do understand that there are some situations where there are single parents and the single parent is working all kind of hours or what have you. And I've often said, and Rob has said also, there are mentors, and we're not talking about no organizations. You know, there's an uncle, a brother, or some positive figure in the family that can step in and help. Now, most of our problems, a lot of times, when it comes to stuff like that, we too damn proud to ask because I don't want nobody saying nothing to my child. And that's a part of the problem why we have so many incidents, confrontations with police and our young black kids anyway. Because all in their life, they're taught that you can't say anything to me. You can't do anything. So if you say anything to me, I'm mouthing off back at you. Which places the cops and the law enforcement in a very peculiar situation. Now, there's a thing called adrenaline, okay? Now, and we all know, for those who have played sports, once you get adrenaline to a certain level, you know, I don't care. You ready to do something. All right, so let's just think about this thing. So you have one individual over here, law enforcement, another one here, just a simple kid, but he's scared. The officer's scared because let's not be naive about this thing. They do get scared in certain situations, especially when it becomes to weapon related. So now you got two people filled with adrenaline. There's going to be an issue. There's going to be an issue, without a doubt. Now, here's the question, though. If you can teach your child to not, you can teach your kid not, not to be able to control that adrenaline. Now, we know cops go through classes, but being a former soldier myself, I can tell you, in certain situations, when you start, when it hits you, you're not thinking anymore. You're not. And the reason why you're not thinking anymore, because that takes over. Because you're in defensive mode now. So you just wait. And in a lot of instances, you know, even for the kids, it's not meant to end up as a confrontation. But because you have so much adrenaline and things built up, that's what it ends up being, because everybody has misinterpreted the situation, and now it has to come to a head. And that's where we run into. But I do believe, if you know, what do we need new? Right? What do we need new? I'm going to tell you, if it's that much a problem or worry about, you know, the interaction between the law enforcement and those that violate this curfew, let's have, Mike, you in Baltimore, maybe you can bring this up. Let's have a meeting, community meeting, to where you have both factions in the room at the same time to express their express their fears and expectations of what they expect from each other during this curfew. And if we sit down as a whole, as a nation, maybe we could come up with something. But you know what the biggest problem is? We fight among ourselves first, and with the constant battles within ourselves, we never come to a solid conclusion to where we can step out and say, okay, I want to have a meeting with you, you, and you. Let's go in this room, and let's talk about some things. And if we did that, then I do believe that a lot of this would probably cease to happen. Of course, this is just my opinion and my theory, okay? This is not a thought process of Blog Talk Radio. But this is what Mr. Talk thinks, all right? And I'm just going to leave it at that. Now, however, it's 20 minutes till the top of the hour, and oh, man, we got to get up out of here. So I'm going to let y'all get your last words in, as I always do, because, you know, I do like to hear what you have to say. So without any further ado, we're going to start with Kenyatta and see your last words, sir.
Hey, I'm sorry. I'm holding my baby, by the way, so I'll be brief. Our people, I say our people because my biggest concern is the most oppressed group, black people, globally. We have been put into a game. And it's a deadly game, and we're typically not going to win. Either we're going to end up with a stroke, heart attack, violent fights with mates, or something else, bankrupt, et cetera. We need to reevaluate the entire game, and if possible, start our own game, because they got a game going on called fake currency, fake religions, fake skin, fake everything. Not all whites, by the way, because I have some great white colleagues who are with us in our struggle. But their system itself is not for us, and it will never really provide until we change it or create a new one for us.
Mm.
And by the way,
right,
really briefly, I'm sorry, I have an organization. We're coming together like a Black United Nations, some brothers in Africa, Caribbean, America, sisters, and we're working on business, martial arts, economics, and all our problems, and having conferences, and I'm Hotep Kenyatta on Facebook, and I'd love some more, you know, of you for us to come together and solve our problems.
Thanks, sir. And you know what? That's a great thing, and we do appreciate you being a part of the show today. Hey, look. Just go to ericlesstalking@gmail.com. Send me email about, you know, what you got going on, and we can see what we can do with you, okay? That sounds like a plan to me.
Thank you.
All right. All right. Thank you, Kiana, and you have a good one, man. All right, Mr. Michael, you up. Michael, are you there?
Yeah, Mr. Tuck. Yeah, do you hear me? Yeah, I'm about to. Yeah, we could be real brief. You know, there was a case real quick in Baltimore where there were some teenagers walking, a group of teenagers, and one of the group of teenagers threw a rock at an off-duty police officer's house. the teenagers ran. The off-duty police officer came out of his house, and he started chasing the teens. Well, one of the teens hid behind some bushes. The officer got detained, and I guess he choked them out and killed them. That's just happened, what, about almost 2 years ago here. Now, of course, you know, the teens may have done, we don't even know if that was the teen that actually threw the rock. But we understand that the group of teens may have did something wrong or what have you, or if they threw a rock at all. But when you apprehend a teenager and an officer, you have to watch they get trained to how to apprehend. And the problem is when we interact and our kids and our community interact with police officers, it doesn't end well. And that's all I was saying about the whole situation. If, you know, everyone needs to police their whole family, but there has to be a balance. There is no way that you should be turning kids away from summer jobs, but then you telling them that they better, you know, stay in the house. And then one meaning that you say, oh, you don't want them to, you know, be on the street selling drugs, but then they want to be legit, but they don't have, you know, people are turning them away. This is a society, but you're taking all of our tax money, getting $10 million to build a prison system, but you couldn't take that $10 million just to go ahead and fund, give the kids the money, make sure they do something. So that's all I was saying, Mr. Dawg, just balance. I got to get ready to go into this class. You have a nice day, and talk to you later.
All right, thank you, sir. And you have a good one too, Mike, and I do appreciate it. All right. And last but not least, we're going to bring Mr. Chef in here and see what he got for us.
Hey, man.
Hey.
you got tongue twisted and tied when you were saying, hey, what do we do new? Okay. And I look at our opposition and go ahead and say, well, they ain't really doing nothing new. They already got a plan. They just keep adding to our plan, to their plan. So what's wrong with us going ahead, dusting off our old plans and modernizing the plans to fit today because of certain things we have today that we didn't have yesterday? That's where we need to be at. The same way we were doing what we had to do for ourselves, we need to go back to that. But you got to go ahead and put it on to a modern-day spin. I mean, you ain't going to dress the same as you did back then. So why not go ahead and try to get some of that mindset where our brothers and sisters were prospering in certain areas like that back Wall Street and other areas.
Right.
And, as far as this issue here with the Mike Brown, the shooting of our kids, it has to be a thing where people have to be willing to go ahead and work as a group to come together and talk. But us coming together and talking and it turned to an argument, believe it or not, that's a good thing because you're showing your passion. You have to go ahead and get a lot of things off your chest. You know, then go ahead and understand one another. I mean, these guys, you know, these Europeans in America, they weren't all just, and even to this day, they're still at each other's throats, but they still find a way to work together. And we got to go ahead and adopt that mindset. You know, hey, look, on the surface, you and I yell and cuss each other out, but we have to go ahead and figure out a way to go ahead and work together on top and underneath. So that's my piece, man. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Chef. And much love to you, man. I want to thank everybody who participated in the show today. Kiana, Mike, Chef Rob, Mr. Michigan, and Chris. KB, the great crazy GJ, I think that's what he said. Hey, and everybody that was in the chat room, hey, I do appreciate you being here. And those listening out on your different devices, thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed the show. All right, tomorrow we got another one coming at you, man, 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, 1 Mountain Time. And we also want you to know that, hey, man, I'm telling you, y'all can always send me messages or anything on my email, ericletstalk@gmail.com. Stop by the Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com, and we'd be more than happy to entertain anything you have to tell us. Let's see. Also, don't forget to stop by audibletrial.com/letstalk, you know, and check out, get your free book, audio book. And, you know, and hopefully you enjoy whatever selection you have, you can you pick up. All right. Well, that's going to do it for me. Bottom line is like this, man. It is simple. As far as the Ferguson, Missouri shooting, yes, something needs to be done. If the situation occurred as been stated by witnesses, then yes, something really needs to be done. I hope justice is served. But on the other hand, we don't need to tear up our own communities. You know, like someone put in the chat room earlier, what, really? What are rims, tires going to benefit you? Why are you breaking the store to steal rims and tires? Why? Just to say you did it? Which thus places a bad stigma on the whole African-American community together, or as I like to say, the colored or black community together. Because no one's going to say, well, that just happened in Ferguson, Missouri. The mantra is going to be, you see what those black folk did? See, that's all they want to do, destroy. So we must watch that. As far as the curfew in Baltimore, hopefully, you know, it turns out to be a good thing. You know, and the law enforcement and the parents and the young, the youth of that community come together and get a understanding about what their fears are and what the goals are, to where there won't be any unnecessary violence perpetrated on either side. That's all. That was my final saying for the day. Hey, I want to once again thank y'all for joining us, man. And just remember, tomorrow, man, we got another good one coming at you. I don't know, maybe on depression. I don't know. I'll see what we got. But it'll be another good one. I'll be here. So I hope to see you here also. just remember, keep smiling, show appreciation, and forgive with the open heart. But make sure that you're forgiving yourself first before you can forgive anyone else, all right? Well, until tomorrow, y'all, once again, this has been Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk, and I'm leaving you out of here with Little John pumping in your ears. See y'all tomorrow. I'm out.
Bye-bye.